Hey, what's poppin'? The Drew and Mike Show is in the dealsinthed.com studios on a crazy Tuesday. We've got Mark, Brandon, Trudy's back. How was your vacation?
Oh, it was awesome.
How many airports did you go through?
None. I drove to Ludington.
Ludington?
Yeah.
What a vacation site that is. How was it?
It's cool. It's a great little town. It's pretty groovy, and it has a gigantic beach and a lot of pine trees, and it's just back in the woods.
I did not realize Ludington was a cool place to hang out. I had no idea.
Yeah, it is. And okay. Manistee, all those sort of, they're like 3 hours away, so it's excellent.
I've never even been up there.
Eli Zarin is here, too, from No Filter Sports, as we'll talk a little Big Ten football, or no football today, right? It's no announcement yet.
Not official.
No, not official.
Okay. I'm sure you guys spent time on it on the new No Filter Sports Show with...
Yes, we did.
Denny and Bob Page and Eli as well. And I tell you what, we might as well just start right out talking college football because yesterday, of course, we learned the MAC and the Big Sky were out. Division II, Division III are out. And now it appears... is this something that could take days for the Big Ten to make this decision? It's going to go back and forth and nobody's going to say anything? Or
they're meeting again tonight.
For what?
I don't know. Maybe the announcement was premature. Maybe they were leaning that way and they just haven't decided yet.
There are massive emergency meetings with all the Power Five conferences. They started meeting on Saturday. They met on Sunday. They're meeting again today. There's conferences all over the country, obviously coast to coast. The Power Five, still goes coast to coast, and they got to figure out, can we do anything in a unified basis? Is there each conference has its own individual needs? Once the Big Ten said they're going to go to an all-conference schedule, the others started to follow. It's kind of like the dominoes, and it's going to be very difficult. Can you imagine they all stop playing football and just the SEC plays, and that's it?
I tell you, it sounds like the SEC really, really wants to play, and I mean, to even talk about that at this point is kind of silly.
I hate that, though. Everybody really wants to play. I mean, that's not a...
Well, of course they want to play. It's football. They love football. I want to watch them play. Anyway, Michigan is playing a big role in this, and Jim Harbaugh is really very outspoken, and he seems to be suggesting that Michigan has some secret sauce that is better than the CDC.
He sounds like an idiot. I'm sorry.
I got to tell you, he sounds like Trump to me because he said, let's see, what was the quote? Something about not being denied or, we will not cower from C-19 and we've got it under control.
Is that good? And there's a hashtag, we want to play.
Yeah, that's moving around.
We are the people that control the money. If you saw, I'll suggest to anybody who's interested in sports at all, the Real Sports episode, maybe it's the latest one, they only do one a month, had his father, Chris Hinton, who played 13 years in the NFL, and his son, Chris, is a great player for Michigan, going to be supposed to have a breakout year this year as a sophomore. And he and his wife, who's a lawyer, said, this is crazy. They have everybody come back to campus. The students aren't back, but it's okay for our players to be back.
But the students are coming back.
And there's no guarantees of any health beyond their eligibility. So what happens if I suffer some serious lung problems or some lingering this and that, and my scholarship goes away, or I graduate, I don't go to the NFL, and I've given my health to this effort here, and what am I left with? So
that
this is the reason
dying.
There's no union,
ASAP.
There's no organization of all the players like you can do in baseball and basketball and football. It's all negotiated because the players are the ones going out there, of course the coaches too, but risking their lives.
Well, the players would have to sign a huge waiver to play, would they not?
They've been asked to sign waivers. I don't think every school has a different waiver, perhaps. And that's another problem with all of this. But yes, to sign a waiver when all you're getting
paid
is a scholarship and you can risk
it's
your
despicable.
Life to this, it's despicable. It's all about the money. And I'm sure Harbaugh wants to play. He's already agreed to give 10% of his $8 million back. But it all comes down to the money. And they're all begging their season ticket holders like Mark Fellhauer, hey, donate your money. Even though you're not going to see football, donate. It will give you a tax deduction.
Well, yeah, you need to step up, they're telling the donors, which is really funny. No,
hi, Mark.
You need to cut.
Off.
You need to cut stuff. You need to cut all the fat out of that giant athletic building.
How about the Ohio State coach's tweet today? We're swinging as hard as we possibly can right now for these players. This isn't over, hashtag fight. It's like, okay, why don't you pay them?
Where are you at the issue
of paying players then, Ryan Day?
Yeah, if he's
all
so,
these guys,
so in love with his
too.
Players.
Yeah.
You know, it's possible that they can come up with a way for the Big Ten or these power conferences to play in Ohio State that has about a $60 or $70 million surplus, but most of these schools lose money. The reason the MAC dumped out was as soon as the Big Ten says only a conference schedule, Eastern Michigan loses $10-15 million a year. But they need to lose $10 million a year. They need to go to play a couple of Division One teams or you know power teams and get that $2 million. When Central goes to Ann Arbor or Ball State goes to East Lansing, they get $2 million to show up. They need that dough. So once you cut that out and everything else, they say there's no point in us playing.
Okay.
Fine Central down the field.
Yeah.
Fine for victory.
I somehow fooled myself that money was not the reason the MAC shut down, but it actually is the reason they shut down.
Absolutely.
But someone answer this question. Okay, this is from Harbaugh's statement today. It is proven that the conduct, discipline, and structure within our program have led to these stellar results. We respect the challenge the virus has presented. However, we will not cower from it. We have developed a great prototype for how we can make this work and provide the opportunity for players to play. If you're transparent and follow the rules, this is how it can be done. And the
Michigan,
the guy from the, I guess the medical staff said that, yeah, he implies that they have some secret sauce.
Yeah.
Ah. Well, that's fine. 100 players in the program. You can't watch them all day long. They're 18 to 21.
But they are.
They have no
positives.
They drink. They want to party. They want to get laid. They're not going to follow the protocol. We see it. And we've seen it already in baseball. This guy, Zach Plesac of Cleveland, yeah. He's the one who made the impassioned locker room speech on July 3rd. This is a small price to pay. Follow the protocols. It's a privilege to play baseball. So what does he do? He pitches in Chicago on Saturday, goes and parties with friends, and now he's on quarantine.
And now
that didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
I believe they gave him a rental car and said, you're driving back to Cleveland from Chicago.
That's right.
He had to be quarantined.
Does anyone else have it?
I don't think so.
I don't think he has it. I don't think he has it, but he put himself at risk.
Yeah. Okay.
The thing Harbaugh's missing in his statement is that's fine. You might. It's kind of like his Dr. Anderson defense, where I was never molested, so he didn't molest anybody. Does Harbaugh not realize that they're going to have to play other teams that might not have this fantastic, stellar organization that they do with all this testing? Or better yet, that they...
Well, they're going to be tackling people, too, and going through airports and hotels.
Yeah. And they spit all over each other during the game. They're huffing and sneezing and coughing and face-to-face, helmet-to-helmet. Anything the other guy has, you have. Okay, there's no escape.
Yeah, don't forget that, Trudy.
Also, if Harbaugh...
Disgusting.
Was not powerful enough, he also quoted Teddy Roosevelt today, so that our place will not be among the cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat.
Oh, that's so deep.
Ted, where you at?
Oh, my goodness.
He has a Teddy Roosevelt quotation book.
Well, yeah, he likes the one about, you know, the man in the arena that takes the criticism.
That's a better quote.
Teddy Roosevelt quote.
Should have gone with that.
That the critics, you know, don't know because they're not in there with the dirt and the grime and they're... You know, in the mud doing the work.
Let's just briefly, Eli, what about the Ryan Day popping off? Because I thought it sounds sour grapes. You don't wake a sleeping dog if Ohio State is such a thing. They're probably not. I mean, they've lost how many out of how many? 17 out of 18 or something? It just seems, my opinion is you just don't do that until you win.
I think it's 16 out of 17.
Oh, it's much better.
Harbaugh popping off about Day?
I'm kind of sorry he's so sour.
To justify anything Jim Harbaugh says or does, I'm sorry. I wouldn't have gone to practice with my shirt off either. So you know, this is just the stuff that he does. But yeah, when you've lost all those to Ohio, 16 out of 17, can you believe it?
No.
They won since 2001. They won the 03 game. They won a couple of years ago, and that's it.
Well, every time he
losers.
Every time he pops off about something like this, I always feel like there's no need to do it. It's like, let someone else do it. I mean, you don't want to be bulletin board material. And of course, Ohio State is so cocky, and I said, oh, we'll hang 100 on him. That's how bad it is. And I felt like maybe they will.
Sports is everybody's desperately trying to make it work. The bubble seems to work. You can't put these players in a bubble. I'll tell you what's going to happen when they cancel all the college football. Watch the NFL. If they figure out how to do it, they're going to be playing every night of the week. They're going to own sports. It's going to be all them from like once baseball is over the end of October and basketball. They're going to be putting games on Friday and Saturday and in the afternoon. They're going to be the only sport in town. They're going to go wild.
Eli, hockey. Do you know what's going to happen? Yeah, when hockey is done and when the NBA wraps up, you know, they're going to be finishing their seasons that were supposed to be finished months ago. Are they just going to start a brand new season? Seriously, the 2020-2021 season?
I think they're talking about waiting like a month and to start all over again. But
oh, wow.
And you know, football is still college football is still talking about playing in the spring, but that brings up all other kinds of problems because does a guy want to burn a year of eligibility to play like a four-game schedule in the spring? You know, what's the analogy we used on our show the other day? It's like when your son was a year old and he started to walk and look how, and he kind of staggers around. And they say, oh no, he's going to hit his head on the side of the table. Go grab him. This is what it's like. They stagger and they realize, oh no, we can't do it that way. And they still haven't figured out the mask thing. So here we are ready to play football. We haven't figured out how to protect a player from the other players yet. So we're so far behind. Our country is doing such a bad job in this. It's really sad.
Well, final question. You had, I thought, a great interview with Stanley Edwards on the show, talking about the good old days and interesting career. And I really didn't know much about his pro career, so I enjoyed it. And, of course, his time at Michigan and Braylon, and he's got another son, of course. Who's the other son that played at Michigan?
Berkeley.
Berkeley
Edwards.
Yeah. Anyway, got on to Dr. Anderson.
Stanley.
Been accused of sexually assaulting about 400 athletes from all different sports. And it was clear he didn't want to answer the question because, I don't know, I felt bad for him, and I understood completely where he was coming from. But since then, it's been brought out that people have said that, yes, I told Bo Schembechler directly. He sent me to Canham. Canham blew me off. And I'm sure there's more of those stories coming. But so here's my question. How safe is Bo's statue in Ann Arbor?
Well, that's... Who knows? But what when we said to Stanley, were you assaulted by Dr. Anderson? This is what he said. And then about 20 seconds later, he said, next question. I think he may be part of a lawsuit.
Awkward.
That's why, and we had Branstad on. I don't know if you listened to that one or not. Yeah. And Brandy's point about the guy who came, the only two guys have come public. Chuck Christian, who's dying sadly enough, tragically enough, of prostate cancer because Anderson freaked him out so badly he never went to get his prostate checked, which is tragic.
And Brandy's dumping on him?
He said he was doing it. He was a broadcaster for Michigan in the early 80s. So Brandy and I were on the phone for like an hour the other night before he came on the show. Well, what stations did it? Who could it have been? In Ann Arbor, it was just Tom Hemingway on WUOM. The student station didn't do it. Who could this broadcaster be? So the point there is, if you're going to go public and do this, we'd like to know who you are and when it happened and what you were really doing, because anybody can claim it now. You know, Schlissel, the president, sent out 300,000 letters.
Eli.
I got one. Mark got one, right?
Is my mic not working?
I did not get one. No, your mic is working fine.
Eli.
What?
A sexual assault is considered, there's an anonymity that is given to people who suffer sexual assaults. Why is Brandy insisting that he must name himself?
Because Brandy's defending Bo, and Brandy wants to defend Bo. Everybody wants to defend Bo. Everybody loved Bo. We all love Bo. The only thing I can guess is that maybe he thought it was a standard part, and this is just a reach, a standard part of the exam. That every player should get his prostate check.
Oh, come on. 400 people.
And it's the same thing as the cough, you know, where they say turn this way and cough. But the theory that I got from another player who is part of a lawsuit, who played back in the late 70s, and said he's racked his brain to try and figure out why Bo, with all the doctors in Ann Arbor, dozens and dozens of dozens that could have served his team, why was he so stuck on this guy who was also fired by the health service years before? Why this
for
of all doctors
assault.
He didn't need to keep? And his theory was that this is the guy that supplied the juice, because back then it was hard to find. It wasn't the steroid stuff with all the laboratories and all the Balcos and all then. But these guys don't understand. How could Bo, if he knew, allow it to happen? And I can't answer that mystery. I don't think anybody can.
Nope. Okay, Eli, thank you. Crazy day, and I'm sure we'll hear more on the Thursday edition of No Filter Sports.
Real quick, do you want to hear
you
Nick's...
You're swinging a man. Slammed up.
Touchdown. Sports.
Did you want to hear Nick Saban's comments today that just came across?
Sure.
He says, I know I'll be criticized no matter what I say, that I don't care about player safety. Look, players are a lot safer with us than they are running around at home. We have about a 2% positive ratio on our team since the 4th of July. That's a lot higher
than everyone should be in their program. Why don't we put everyone in the Alabama football program?
Exactly.
Or the whole country.
Or Michigan is Harbaugh.
Thank you, and roll tide.
I told you, you're going to hear this narrative that players are way safer when they're in this tightly controlled environment of college athletics. And it's just because they don't allow them to do anything.
Well, let's take the unhealthiest people in the country and put them there. In the Alabama football
let's put
program.
Put the nursing home people in the Alabama football. Yeah, maybe.
Great call.
They can't go to class, but they can play football and spit on each other. Okay. Exactly. That's fine.
All right, Eli.
Thank you. Good seeing you.
All right. See
we'll
you
see. Oh, Eli.
What?
Eli. You want? There was Dr. Yaldo. I forgot to mention Dr. Yaldo.
Oh, he's Dr. Yaldo. Yes, he is back. He's back on your show. He's back on my show. He's back helping people again. He's the number one LASIK surgeon and a cataract surgeon in Michigan. He's done, 50,000 procedures, including hundreds from your show alone.
Exactly.
Get rid of glasses, get rid of contacts, and see better than you've ever seen before. It's a pretty simple message. We've been touting it for years and years, and that's why he's taking care of so many people. And, COVID's made a lot of changes in our life, and why not change your vision for the better? So that's Dr. Yaldo, 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Do what I and many, many others that are listening to the Drew and Mike show have done. Go see Dr. Yaldo. He's the best.
And $1,500 off. Discount with the show.
Just say you listen to the Drew and Mike show or No Filter Sports, and you're in.
How about that? Okay, and it's a good time to do it, too, because, a lot of people have time. Can't go anywhere, can't do anything, so why not get some things done? Dr. Roche is having the same phenomenon. People are getting stuff done over there where they follow all the protocols too. Anyway, thanks, Eli.
Good seeing you, bud.
See you guys.
See ya.
Get out of here.
Bye.
All right.
He's got the best.
Get him out of here.
He's gone.
Water.
Oh, he's still here. Uh-oh.
He's gone. I'm leaving. Bye.
Don't say anything bad about him.
Facebook Live is brought to you by Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Water is everywhere in your home. Leaky sink, washing machine, behind your fridge, or under your dishwasher. Keep an eye out for any water in your home. Not just the floods, although you might want to notice those too. Water is the enemy. Emergency Response Services Incorporated will help you. Call 877-JOB-DONE. Get it on the fridge. 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com for Emergency Response Services Incorporated. All right. So this football, boy, this story, I hope this doesn't go back and forth all week. I'm going to be really mad if this becomes a running stupid topic.
It will.
Just announce what you're doing and then be done.
Well, you know what I think is really happening? I think that none of the Power Five want to be the first to kind of, quit and postpone. And I also think they don't want to be the last. So I think they're coming together to kind of maybe do this universally together.
Couldn't they have done that a while ago?
The problem is you have a lot of players who want to play, and so they're expressing that. You have Ohio State that's retweeting players and say
they don't care about what the players think.
No,
I
players
understand,
don't
but
care.
Like the official Ohio State Twitter is retweeting players that are saying I want to play, and we got Ryan Day popping off, and we got Aya that wants to play, and the Nebraska that wants to play. So there are going to be people who are going to try to figure something out. But as you guys stated, they're not going to do it in 4 weeks.
Let them play then. Let them all be in one conference. There's a great tweet that said, so college football took 25 years to come up with a 4-team playoff, and they think they're going to get 39 teams in a super conference in 3 weeks? Bullshit.
Well, that'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? It would take some 4 years to figure out how to let a player use his likeness or sign autographs. Didn't they say 2023 is when they would come up with that?
Yeah, because, it takes a while.
That's so stupid. What if they had just said, you know what? It's all about the money. If we don't play, I'm just trying to play a little game here. We're going to have to cancel all the women's sports, and we're going to have to cancel almost all the men's sports because we can't afford any of them. There'll just be football and basketball, and everything else will be done. Would people go, oh, my God, all those sports gone? That's terrible. They should play.
I'll have to rewrite the what's Title IX part of the equity
No, they have to can the men's and the women's.
Oh, well.
Only the revenue sports can stay.
Then you're going to have women playing basketball and football. Because they legally, if it's a public university, they have to have equal access.
How dumb is that, by the way?
Yeah.
How dumb is Title IX when it comes to that? I mean, they've had, how long's Title IX been around?
Early 70s, 71.
So they had equal facilities, equal money for all these decades, and they make money.
Not money, equal opportunity. It's not necessarily about the money.
Oh, they pay, okay, for coaches or sports
just,
that have.
I'm just saying.
Sports that are non-revenue sports, they pay them a lot of money.
I know, but
they fly on planes to away games. They get phenomenal facilities.
That's quite often misstated because people are like, well,
what's he doing up there?
If you have to pay the players, then you got to pay all the women athletes because of Title IX. It's not. There's nothing about paying there at all because it's from 1971.
But they pay the women's softball coach $500,000 at Michigan.
Because they don't have to pay any of the labor on any of the other sports.
Right, right.
Yeah, no. I okay.
But that's, it's a joke.
It's a total joke.
I mean, well, anyway.
They have to coach and play on their period, so, I mean, come on.
That's true. No, there's a lot of there's a lot of
I don't know how many
wrinkles.
I don't know. Sorry, sis. I don't know how many Hutch still has.
I felt a gush.
I don't know if we want to go there with Hutch.
I'm just saying.
Well,
I'm
Hutch
just
has to deal with it. Whether she doesn't have to deal with herself or not, she does have to deal with it.
At least the gymnasts don't. Because I don't know.
Oh, that's true. No, that's a real bonus.
It's a fact.
Because they're not allowed to eat.
Their periods are delayed. Yep. Gymnasts. That's a fun fact.
That's great.
Did you know that, Brandon?
I think I've heard it from your mouth four or five times. It's one.
What are you talking about?
Do we have a phone number for? We don't have anybody calling Sturgis, do we?
No, and I'm mad because ZZ3 read my message I sent to him, but didn't reply. ZZ3 being the ZZ Top tribute band that just performed.
Yeah, they look. Hey, by the way, that tribute band looks legit. They got the beards. They look very similar to the artists that they are impersonating.
But it's so easy to look like ZZ Top. All you need is a beard, a hat, and sunglasses.
Guy actually, you know, the guitarist, the lead singer actually looks like Billy. You know, the bassist is thicker. I don't know. It was. I thought it was a really good looking tribute band.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, Sturgis. 250,000 people descend on this small town, and then I was watching videos of big parties that are not in Los Angeles proper. They're just outside because Eric Garcetti, the mayor, said, we will cut your power, we will cut your water if we see this going on. So there's a big old blowout just outside the city limits.
Is this the one with Jake Paul in it again? And
Logan Paul was there.
Logan Paul.
Tyga.
Chuck Liddell, I think, was there.
Yes. A bunch of celebrities. Just no masks, just having a ball. And then there was another party in Marina Del Rey, which I don't know if there were a lot of celebrities, but it was a real swanky affair. Lots of people. Ooh. Lots of close contact. And I have just come to the conclusion that in the United States of Assholes in 2020, there is nothing that binds us all. Is there anything that we all agree on?
No.
I mean, is it even close? I mean, anything?
I can't think of one thing.
We all love football. I guess that's something.
Yeah, we do love football. That's true.
But
television, we all like to watching TV.
Yeah.
We used to have, you know, whether it was the Germans bringing us together twice. And 9/11, you know, oh my God, this is horrible. We all think this is horrible, and we all know we have to do something, and we all, you know, there was a little bit of whining about the airport security, but I think people for the most part said, hey, we got to do this because we got to be safe and we got to move this country forward.
Boy, were we bamboozled with that one.
Oh, were we ever bamboozled too with Iraq? Because remember, everybody wanted to do that. Anybody who didn't want to do it was a complete asshole.
Janine Garofalo,
yeah, there weren't many. I mean, it was really hard to speak out against that, and it was the dumbest fucking war.
I'd love to talk to Janine Garofalo to apologize to her.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't hear her touting that a lot either. And Natalie Maines in the...
She's taking the high road.
Although I wasn't crazy about what Natalie Maines said. I don't know. Should it be canceled.
From the band The Chicks?
Yes. They were in England. And that was
stupid.
I never understood the CEO said, criticizing America on foreign soil!
It's called pandering.
If she had been in Idaho, it would have been
totally
better.
Fine. Yeah.
I feel like, what the fuck? Who cares? I mean, I don't like what she said, because I think she said she was ashamed to be from Texas because George Bush is from Texas or something like that. It was stupid. But that band suffered a lot. They lost a lot.
That's one thing to be ashamed of when you're from Texas, but there are plenty of others.
So, you know, I was thinking about, like, the national anthem. I mean, if you stand for the national anthem, you're an asshole. I mean, we used to all stand for the national anthem. I mean, it seemed like there were a lot of things that we used to all agree on, but it seems there's really nothing. Even this stupid virus, Now, I would think even 20 years ago, if it was apparent that, and this is probably true in a lot of things, if there was a will of the people, generally people would go along. Like, let's say it's 1980, and 80% of the country thinks you should wear masks, and the other 20, you just kind of do it because it's not that much to ask. I don't agree with it. But wouldn't people be more inclined to do things that the will of the people, I mean, the will of people would win out in many cases back then.
Oh, not anymore.
Well, no, I don't think. No, that's my whole point is I think that now it's like nobody has to do anything. Nobody. We don't have to be together on anything.
On a smaller level, going back to Sturgis, it was reported that they surveyed the people of Sturgis and 60% wanted to delay the, you know, the Sturgis rally. And yet city council's like, no, we're going to
money.
So don't even ask him then.
What kind of bike do you have?
Yeah, exactly. Why
did they even
bring
to care
it up?
What your constituents think?
So again, there's the will of the people,
it doesn't matter,
and it doesn't exist. Let's see what else. Oh, you know, defund the police, or I mean, wouldn't you think? I would never have thought I would live to see the day where we would be debating whether we should have police or not. It seemed that generally we all agreed that we did need police. Now, not even that. I mean, there's just nothing.
That's a real small minority, though, that feel that way.
But would you have thought that anyone would even talk about it? Because it's out there all the time. Defund the police. Defund the police in Minneapolis. Defund the police here, there. Even though, I mean, and maybe that's part of the problem with the will of the people, is that the will of the people is really not always what gets the attention. It's the screaming,
sure,
you know, the small groups that make a lot of noise.
You always pay attention to the squeaky wheels.
But I used to feel that the will of the people still generally would win out. And there have been a million political examples, especially as time goes on, where it just isn't
look
true.
How,
like
look how easily manipulated we all are on Twitter and social media by bots from other countries. I mean, they know. We think we're these free thinkers, and we're not.
I remember when Rick Monday,
yeah, the flag,
rescued the American flag, and he was a huge hero.
Sure.
People loved Rick Monday because somebody at Dodger Stadium jumped out of the stands there on the warning track, and they poured
lighter
fluid on the flag, and they were starting to light. And Rick Monday came in, swooped in, and took the flag.
Sounds
he grabbed
like
it.
Mondays.
He was a big ass hero. I think it was a special baseball card for that.
Honestly, I don't remember. I don't remember that.
Yeah, before your time, Brandon. Trudy, you should remember it.
Maz gave you the bobblehead of him doing it that mysteriously disappeared that
what?
Was down here. Yeah.
I never saw it.
Yeah, he brought it in one day.
I remember seeing it.
There's the video.
Oh, there they are. They're about to light the flag on fire. Oh, my God.
Assholes.
See the yoink?
Wow. Nice going, Rick.
That never has the word yoink been applied more correctly, because he did just swoop in and go, yoink.
And the crowd goes wild for Rick Monday.
Whoa.
Rick Monday. That's all I can think of.
Do Monday.
So dumb.
I mean, we don't
Has
even
anybody
agree.
Talk to Rick Monday about how he feels?
Should we call him?
That's a thought.
Yeah.
Is he alive?
We have to call him.
Yes.
Maybe we should wait till tomorrow because we have to call Joe Theismann today.
Oh, that's right. I almost forgot.
Why?
He had a pretty wild tweet, and he seems to be asking us to call him. I don't know. It's Mark, can you explain it? He seems to want us to call him.
I'm so glad you remembered. I totally forgot about it. I was going through Twitter in the midst of a bunch of fighting and political fighting about college football. Joe the Isman's tweet really stood out. And I think you're right, Drew. It is something we all need right now because he tweeted out.
He's asking us to call.
He wrote, "Today's a great day to tell someone how wonderful they are." And it's a picture of Joe with both his Super Bowl rings on. Taken a screenshot off of his own phone, by the way.
He's a nice guy, too. I mean,
he's
we've called him out of the
guy.
Blue before.
He's
the best. He answers the phone sometimes.
So does LT still answer the phone? Maybe we could conference them.
Oh, ooh. Well, they made up.
Have we tried the LT number?
What can I do for you, man?
Yeah. Because if he feels that he wants to tell somebody who's, you know, they're wonderful. Have they talked since then?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they have.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
LT, if we were to call LT, I would insist he get on speakerphone. I will not talk to him if he's not on speakerphone because it was so cool.
That reminds me, I tried Ricky Henderson again, and I got fooled by his answering machine like you did. Where he's like, "Hello, like
oh,
Ricky,
no.
I can't come to the phone right now."
It's pretty funny. Do you think was he trying to do that
with Ricky? Probably not.
Okay, so we
got LTE and Joe if you want.
Yeah, we have some calls to make. Joe is, I think, I hope that connects. I have a feeling it will. And then also we have a 103-year-old that got a tattoo.
Yes.
But I did reach out to her and I could not get through. So I'm not sure if I have her number, but we do have the tattoo parlor.
Okay. Are they open?
Couldn't get through. The number didn't work.
Were we spared a doo doo doo?
Don't lie.
Was there a doo doo doo?
Yes. The second one was doo doo boop. The Damn. First one was even stranger, the response, but it actually rang.
Oh, I hate that.
I'll look up Rick Monday.
Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsNAD.com is all fired up because everybody's back at work. They're following all the safety protocols. They've got the secret sauce just like Harbaugh does. Nobody's running out of there with COVID. But if you're afraid or you're compromised and you'd like them to maybe sell you a car, but you don't have to go there or anything, you can do it. They've got a truck that brings the wheels out there, or they have somebody drive it out. And they've done many deals this way. So here's the Drive Forward event from Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn for only $188 a month. If it's a Jeep, how about a 2020 loaded Jeep Compass? It's just $155 a month. There's always a new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee, as low as $247 a month. And the Wrangler, right now, gets Zot employee pricing for everyone. 0% financing and $1,500 in rebates if you want a Jeep Wrangler, a new Jeep Wrangler, right now. Speaking of right now, get to DealsNAD.com, our studio sponsor, and look at all the great deals that they have. Let's see. Luke Nowacki is at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies. Call Luke at 248-663-4748 for rational financial advice. Oh, my God. Trudy, what are you doing with your finances? You must be dying thinking you're going to outlive your money.
I haven't heard virus. From Luke. I just wonder if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
A good thing.
But, yeah, I know. I am. I'm, like, on pins and needles. Whether I'll outlive my money and whether my house will hold up.
Oh, that too. And any new debacles at the house? No.
No. Sounds like a yes.
I was thinking that it was time to call Ursi.
Oh, water? Mold?
There is a mold thing up in the attic again. Oh, so.
Come on, your house sucks.
Yeah. I know.
I would definitely call about that. I called them for someone recently, and they were very responsive and very helpful. Everybody was very happy. But
well,
Luke,
I know the phone number, so I'll call them right away.
877, job done. But Luke, by the way, is a big help in the middle of coronavirus. The market was crazy today. Wasn't the market up a bunch today?
Was it?
It was pretty mediocre, but I think it ended up.
Balls.
I thought it was up. Oh, it was up earlier? Okay, anyway.
Oh, yeah, it ended. You're talking about the Dow. Yeah, the Dow ended up big time.
Cool. What is this crazy coronavirus and all the effect? I mean, look at Michigan Avenue in Chicago, where it looks to be a shell of Michigan Avenue within possibly the next year. Look at Manhattan. Look at Times Square. Look at these areas that were just guaranteed to make piles of money for the next, 20, 40, 60, 80, 100 years. And all of a sudden, wah-wah, everything is changing so fast. People are moving to the suburbs. I have a great story about that, by the way. So what does all this mean now? What does it mean 6 months from now? What does it mean 6 years from now? That's why you want to call Luke Nowacki at 248-663-4748. And if you don't have a financial plan, you should start working on one. Security and Investment Advisory Services offer through Reliance Associates Corporate, a member of FINRA, SIPC. Reliance Associates Corporate, separately owned other entities, and our marketing and product services drivers here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates and the Hall Financial Hotline.
Good
Hopefully
news.
It's been opened
Good
or
news.
Is being opened.
Good news, by the way. I think I have a number for Rick Monday.
What? I have one, too, in case you...
Does it end with a 3?
This one ends with a 2.
Oh, man.
I'll send you mine.
So there's definitely a doo doo doo.
I think mine's
somewhere. Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're right. You're right. It ends with a 3.
Oh.
What?
What?
So it's the same number. They have the
it
same
is.
Number.
It is.
Can you have as much trouble right. identifying numbers as food?
You need to go see Yeldo.
Yeah. Jeez.
Poor Brandon.
Hall Financial sponsors the Hall Financial Hotline. They sponsor the Zooms, too. I should have mentioned that. There it is. With Eli earlier. Low interest rates, incredibly low, as low as 2.5, saving people. Somebody recently said they're saving $370 a month, which probably means they have a really nice house.
Oh, my God.
I know. Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Nice house. Jeez.
That's over $4,000 a year they're saving.
They get to skip mortgage payments.
Yes. You could skip up to 2 mortgage payments, and that has been happening. I've had some people who have said, yes, I got to skip payments. We were pumped. Call. The average 19 days. They're quick. 248-308-5000 or go to DavidHallMortgage.com/Drew and Mike. or go to our website, click the link, and they'll be in touch with you very quickly. NMLS number 1467435 for Hall Financial.
LT, the Is Man, or Rick Monday? Your call.
Okay. Let's call Rick Monday. I'm so psyched because he saved the American flag. And now I think he might be booed if he did the same thing.
You think so?
I don't know. Trudy?
Yeah, definitely.
He might be. It'd be a mix.
He's so bummed.
It'd be a mix. This is so rando. I can't even believe we're doing this.
I mean, thanks, he has so many songs named after him, too.
Oh, this guy pushes. He pushes his voice, by the way. I'm just going to say that before he talks.
He has a voice.
Sounds like a case of the Mondays.
It went immediately to voicemail, and he has not set up his outgoing voicemail yet.
Oh, we can't even hear him pushing his voice?
No. Okay, and I was very positive about that.
I'm going to boo him. If he saves the flag again, I'll boo him for not setting up his voicemail, because he's got an incredible voice.
What can I do for you, man?
You want to try Lawrence?
Let's try LT.
Yeah. What?
There's two numbers for LT.
LT. Has anyone seen LT lately? I haven't either.
The person you are trying to reach is not accepting calls at this time. Please try your call again later.
Okay. Why will he accept calls?
What in the hell is LT up to that he can't accept a call right now?
Crap.
Sounds really dubious.
Yeah. That's a great Matt Farley song, by the way.
Is this LT too?
What?
The number you dialed is not in service.
Dude. It just rang. Oh, well. The Is Man.
So he just changed his number? Just as we were
speaking? As the phone was ringing.
Wild. Okay, we're left with Joe the Is Man.
He
wanted a call. Tell someone. We're supposed to tell him? How wonderful he is?
You just got to tell someone how wonderful they are.
Okay.
How does he stand on the Redskins thing?
Oh, that's a good question.
Did he check in on that?
I thought about that.
In college football.
Yeah, he'll think we're calling about this. He's got a song for Joe Theismann.
Stand up, Joe. It's a good job. He was
such a good supposed to tell him how wonderful he is.
And he is wonderful.
He's a great guy. He owes me a dollar, though.
What was the bet?
It wasn't a bet. It was a Kraft macaroni and cheese rebate with his picture on it. I hold him responsible.
Abraham, delicious.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message.
He sent us there. Let's leave him a message.
Seven. One man. He's a superstar quarterback legend. At the tone, please record your message. When you
like
have finished
song?
Recording, you may hang up or press one for more options.
Joe! It's the Drew and Mike show in Detroit. We had. Oh, wait. First of all, I need to hear the song.
Oh, no. Lawrence
Taylor. Oh, yeah, of course, it would be the worst part of the song.
Stand up, Joe. It's a good job. Except for Lawrence Taylor. Oh,
yeah. Washington, D.C. The first part of the song was really nice, Joe. I swear to God.
We're calling you.
We love you, Joe.
We were answering your tweet, and we wanted to call and tell you how wonderful you are from the Drew and Mike show in Detroit. So hopefully you'll see the 248 number and know that we're friendly fire here.
It was very nice to see a tweet like that amidst all the garbage on my Twitter timeline.
We'll let the song play out.
Super duper quarterback legend.
That part's good.
Oh, no. Lawrence Taylor.
No!
Why'd you have to break his leg in half? Oh, yeah.
Titty farts, dog meter.
I freaked out when Brandon
Titty
started
man.
Playing that, and I had to
Titty
hang
man,
up.
Titty farts,
hey. Joe, it's like, I don't know if Joe would dig that drop.
Joe is as well known for what LT did to his foot as anything.
Oh, easily.
He won a Super Bowl.
Isn't that the first horrific injury that was caught on tape like that? I mean, I know the one guy, the Lions player die?
Oh.
And he collapsed, but you know he was dead.
Oh, Chuck Hughes.
Yeah.
But he was the first one where, like, a body part was completely going the wrong way.
I kind of think he is. Oh. Now, wait, there was Napoleon McCallum?
McCallum, that was after.
That was after, or his knee.
Also, Robin Pretty Ventura. Well. Remember his foot was going the wrong way?
Yes, I do.
Oh, gross.
Tim Crumright,
Super Bowl.
Yes, with his ankle. Here's my
impression. He has a foot fetish.
Crumright's ankle.
There's been quite a few of them, really. Oh. What about the Louisville guy?
Kevin Ware. I was just going to say Kevin Ware, which...
Oh!
Do you remember...
God, that was gross.
Remember CBS pulled it after playing it 5,000 times? Like, okay, nobody can see this anymore.
We're not going to allow this to be played anymore now that we've enjoyed seeing it 5,000 times.
I want to say
it's wrong.
I want to say it was Nance's call for some reason, because they showed a replay once, and Nance was like, oh, we saw the replay on the monitor, and we can't be showing that anymore.
Like, yeah, it was okay for him to watch it.
Yeah, Nance, creep.
Got off on it.
But could the sports stations that don't have sports just show stuff like that, like a broken body reel of some sort? Like they have, you know, car crashes.
That's a great idea for a segment. You could be the segment producer, Trudy.
I'd love to.
So what was going on in Ludington, by the way? What excitement went on? How big a crowd was this on the vacation?
It was just me, Eileen, Zeke, and someone else. And it was, you know, like a small group, and we just hung out in a place, a cabin in the woods, essentially.
I'm intrigued by the someone else part. But, we won't get into that. It just seems kind of interesting. So it was just an outdoorsy thing?
Yeah. You know, hiked a lot. There was tubing on the lake. It was fun.
Oh, cool.
It was fun as hell.
The beach? Were there a lot of people on the beach?
There weren't that many people because it was kind of cold there. So there weren't. It wasn't like there were people massed out on the beach.
There's lots of pussy at the beach!
Did you guys quarantine properly before the trip, obviously?
Of course, yeah.
Yes.
Coronavirus!
There was a little bit too much drinking, though, I think. I had to have an alcoholic popsicle from Costco before the show started because gradually.
Those things are dangerous, man.
Oh, my God.
Because next thing you know, you have five of them, and then it all hits you.
What were you guys drinking?
Oh, I usually drink effing cucumber vodka. So mostly that. A lot of wine.
What a girl.
Someone left me some what is it, THC candy or CBD candy?
There was some of that, too.
Oh, what's there? Really? It's everywhere. You can't get away from it.
Everybody eats it. Come on. Yeah.
I just tried a very tiny, tiny part of it, and it had no impact. So apparently,
now you got to double it.
I have to up my game.
And then double it again.
Just to see what happens.
It smells like burnt grass.
You can totally eat more of that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm afraid because I remember going to a football game with Ursay. This was in high school. And Ursay and my friend Gio decided that we needed to make pot brownies. Yeah. And this was all their thing. And they used way too much pot. And I remember eating a brownie and going, this doesn't even work. Why are we putting
some
brownies?
Don't act like you don't know about drugs when you do.
We could have been balling it out or smoking a joint or something. And then, so I ate more brownies, two or three more. And then by the game.
And Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
It was like, whoa, am I at a football game? Where am I? And it was the weirdest game, too, because the Bears tied the Oakland Raiders 28-28. I think it was 77 or 76. You can look it up.
I'm amazed that you still remember the game.
I do.
If you were that bad.
And Bob Thomas, this is about the only play of the whole game that I remember. Bob Thomas of the Bears had a chance to kick a winning field goal, and it went off the crossbar at the end of the game.
Oh, man. Yeah,
pretty wild.
Wow. Did they boo him?
You weren't that bad then.
I don't think they booed. I don't remember. Why am I acting like I would know?
Bob Thomas became a judge, by the way, in the Supreme Court of Illinois.
Ursay, we went to another game with Ursay where the Bears were losing to the Washington Redskins 15-9. This had been like 72 or 73 maybe. And there wasn't much time left. Anyway, they were moving the ball, and they did a draw play to Cyril Pinder. I mean, does anyone know who Cyril Pinder is? No.
Is that Artus's uncle?
No, he could be. I wonder if he is. I don't know if they're related. Anyway, Pinder was a big player in the WFL.
Yeah.
The Wiffle League. Mm-hmm. He went to that from the Bears. But anyway, he ran 40 yards for a touchdown, tied the game 15-all. So the Bears have nothing to do but kick the extra point, and I want to say it was Mac Percival, maybe, the kicker at the time.
Oh, God, how do you remember that?
I don't know. Bad snap. The ball is loose. Bobby Douglas, the crazy lefty, tracks it down, and who's the blocking back who's eligible? Dick Butkus!
Oh, really?
He throws to Butkus in the end zone to win the game on the extra point. I'm not joking.
Well, that's cool.
It really happened. In fact, you could probably find the highlight.
I was actually looking for Bob Thomas's missed kick, but can't find it.
And the crowd went wild. Whoa. Another Ursae escapade. But I don't think there was any brownies on that one.
I got to tell you, those brownies back in those days and today's edibles, I'm telling you, they're two different beasts.
Well, because the last edible I ate, I threw up over a guy's car.
That's the thing. Is these edibles these days, I'm telling you.
Was this person named someone else?
Yeah.
If you don't know your milligram, you're going to get screwed. You can't overdo it with edibles these days because you can see Satan.
But isn't that the thing? Isn't it regulated now so you know how much is in each dose?
Well, sure. Yeah, well, Brad, you get a little 10-milligram or 20-milligram bite. But still, somebody who has never eaten an edible before, if you eat a 20-milligram, you're going to be probably not going to have a very good high.
Brandon, I don't want to call you a doubting Bob Thomas, but at that game when we were so high and watching the Bears tie, we got back, and my friend's mom, not Ursae's mom, my other friend's mom was not home. I was like, well, where is she? Because it was kind of like, hey, open house, cool. But then it was an open house for a lot longer than you'd expect, and we found out that
hi, Mom. Who is my mom?
They are getting
home. She raided the extra brownies and thought she was having a stroke, and she was in the hospital.
Oh, holy shit.
That's yeah, awesome. But she was fine. She's just really high.
Soft.
Do you remember the cop that ate his and he was freaking out?
She was probably feeling good for a while.
Yeah.
I don't think she knew what was happening. She'd never...
Isn't this one local, Brandon?
Yeah.
Okay, you and your wife?
Yes.
Overdose of what?
Marijuana. But I don't know if it had something in it.
Okay.
Can you please send rescue?
Okay, how old are you?
I'm 29 years old, and my wife is 26. Please come.
26?
Yes, please.
Have you guys been drinking also?
What?
Have you guys been drinking today, too?
No, that's it.
No, and is there any weapons in the house?
No. Please come.
Okay, we're on our way. Do you guys have fever or anything?
Just no, Jester's app working 911 now?
Okay, how much did you guys have?
I don't know. We made brownies, and I think we're dead. I really do.
Okay, how much did you put in the brownies?
I don't know.
Was it a bag? Who made the brownies?
My wife and I did. Cuba, come here.
Okay, get her.
Yeah, that guy was bombed off his ass off these brownies. I'm telling you, if you the right amount, you feel really good. A little too much, and you are paranoid city.
Or so a little too much, and you drink with it, because I was forgetting drink.
Mrs. G had never had anything other than alcohol in her entire life. And she wasn't even a drinker, really.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff happened in that house, though, that she was not aware of.
She sounds hot.
No charges for that officer, for whatever that's worth. Because I think he was confiscated marijuana, too.
Oh!
Oops!
Oh.
Uh-huh.
So there was a little worry there.
Wasn't he East Side?
Dearborn.
As I remember.
Dearborn.
Oh, okay.
Well, I did see that Simon Cowell had an operation, and he's claiming that he didn't read his e-bike instructions. What is an e-bike?
So you can get a bicycle that's got a tiny little motor in it, so if you pedal. Right. But I saw a picture of the bike, $20,000 for the bike he was riding.
How fast does it go?
It looks pretty
What's
sweet.
What's as fast as it goes?
20 miles an hour.
That's it?
It
looked faster than that. No, I believe you. I just surprised.
So they said on Inside Edition.
I mean, did you guys see the video?
No, I heard he was trying to do a wheelie or something.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, yeah, the video kind of picks up right after he crashes, and here it is.
Oh, my back!
Oh, man.
They were worried.
That's what's injured his back, so that's pretty fitting cut there. but I guess he's going to be okay. And then there was, let's see, NBC has ordered the MacGruber series, allegedly.
Yes! Yeah, for Peacock, right? Or are they going to actually air it on TV?
Oh, that's funny. I saw that Peacock, and I was like, they're calling NBC the Peacock again now?
It's their streaming service.
I got a better idea. No fucking way.
Yeah, but just put it on NBC. How bad can MacGruber do?
Believe me, I'd rather see it on a streaming service than on broadcast.
Me too.
Rachel Ray's house burned down.
She's okay, though.
Yeah, I heard that some of the kitchen was saved somehow. And then
is that seriously? I'm gonna ask this question. Is she gonna file this under like a work accident or something like that? Because she does her show from her
probably
kitchen.
She can write it off.
Hmm.
Wait, she doesn't do it from
the
studio?
She can say there's business interruption, too, because her house is burned down, so she can't shoot her show.
She could prep there.
She hasn't been doing it from her studio. She's been doing it from home because her husband keeps popping in, and it's so funny when he does.
big watcher.
How cute.
Of the Rachel Ray show?
No, I've never seen it, actually.
No, I mean, but I'm Brandon. Pretty sure, like, John Oliver put a montage together of all the times her husband popped in.
Somebody was suggesting, actually some people were suggesting that you were watching it to help learn to identify certain dishes and
foods. Is that true?
It's crazy.
It's not true.
And Alyssa Milano, in Brandon's prep today, he had the little piece of her saying that she's going bald from COVID. She has the worst COVID possibly ever.
Yeah.
She was on why was she on CNN the other night? It's like, is it really a big deal when someone has COVID now? Someone who's in their 40s and is in relatively good shape?
It was really stupid.
She said on CNN that someone is dying every 8 seconds of COVID. What? And someone did the math, and that is not even close. Apparently, the person did the math that gave her that information is the same person that said she has one-third the listeners Joe Rogan has. Although she had that we live in a world where I have only one-third the listeners that Joe Rogan has. Dear God. Dear God!
What a moron.
I know. She actually ranked 5,766. She was, anyway. I saw somebody promoting Rob Lowe's big new podcast, too.
Spade was on it.
Really? Spade, come on.
Sounds like
maybe it's funny because of David Spade, though.
It probably is. No, I'm upset because it's probably decent.
I'm wondering how many times Rob Lowe asks David Spade if he's seen something Rob Lowe's been in, you know?
Or when they met.
Rob Lowe goes like this. Hey, you were in Tommy Boy. I was in Tommy Boy. You remember my scenes in Tommy Boy?
Was it Gwyneth Paltrow? He said, when did we meet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see my back-to-school special?
That's a really cool question because it really puts you on top of the other person. It infers that you would have no idea when they met, but the other person absolutely would remember that very second. I'm going to try that.
Oh, God.
Did you guys see Schwarzenegger's kid is pumping his arms up all over Men's Health magazine?
Oh, it's
is that
kid?
The illegitimate kid, the one that looks just like Arnold?
Yes, yeah, and now
this
he looks
kid
just
ripped.
He is pretty studly.
He's monstrous now.
I'll be surprised. I'm serious. That kid's going to take over the Terminator franchise. He looks so much like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's built just like Arnold when he was young.
You see, huh?
An absolute muscle-bound beast. The face looks just like him. And then the
how's
funny thing is,
structure?
It's the
maid's kid.
It's the maid's kid.
Well, good for the maid.
Joseph Baena.
Is that what his name is? Man. Wait, he doesn't go by Schwarzenegger?
So. Get it?
Seriously?
No. Baena.
Oh.
Wow. I want to feel this guy's muscles.
And then I saw that Oprah has put up 25 billboards of Breonna Taylor.
Yeah.
And also, I saw this read a long piece about Oprah teaching us about whiteness, which I was really appreciative of. For some reason, for someone to tell you what an extreme advantage you have over them because you're white when they're a multi-billionaire, it just doesn't wash quite as well.
No.
At least for me personally.
Should have found someone else to mention it.
And she kept saying something to the effect that, you know, because when all is said and done, you're still white. It's like, well, but if you're, you know, if you've got a serious illness or something, I mean, is really something to celebrate? I thought she was really taking the point a bit far. And was probably the wrong person to do it. But anyway.
Breonna Taylor is on the cover of her magazine. It's the first time anyone else has ever been on the cover of O magazine.
I saw that. So she's on the cover of her own magazine every single time?
Every time.
That seemed a little strange that she would always be in. Wouldn't you be better off putting someone else on the cover?
It's called O.
I know, but John Magazine, what's Kennedy's magazine?
George.
I mean, what if George Washington's on the cover every week? Wouldn't you get bored? Plus, he's a racist.
Well, Mad Magazine had Alfred E. Newman on every cover.
That's true. I think that's more interesting than seeing Oprah on the magazine every cover.
Yeah, it'd be better if Oprah dressed up like the people like Alfred E. Newman did, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so there is the other call with the 103-year-old with the tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to call the parlor.
Yeah, we can call the parlor.
This is guaranteed no doo doo doo. Allegedly.
Yeah, I'll guarantee it.
Okay. Did you speak to someone at the tattoo parlor?
No, I did not. I don't, and I'll tell you why, because I was busy hunting down the guy that's supposed to call at 6:30, and I know way too much about him and his husband's
that
relationship.
Guy. Oh, it's how close are we to that guy?
You got 25 minutes.
Okay.
So.
That guy tried to get in a casino, and he had a purse, and the security guy wouldn't let him in with a purse. He was with his partner, which I thought, wait, since when did casinos stop anyone from coming in and losing their money?
Exactly. Well, that's kind of what he said, too. Do you want to hear his interview?
Sure. Right, I'm intrigued.
He sounds like a very nice man.
Where's the casino?
Oaklawn Racing Casino, and I guess it's in Arkansas. He's from Hot Springs. Hmm. I just feel like there's casinos everywhere now. Serious.
Yeah, they're pretty much.
His bag back to the car before coming in, despite.
By the way, Louis Vuitton bag.
When he asked them why, sweet. Kirk said he was told it's because, quote.
Kind of want to know what he's carrying in his bag. I mean, his purse, not his bag.
Kirk is a betting man.
Would you like to know? I might gamble like $20.
But says he never thought the odds would be stacked against him before.
I'm going to take you to get you a Louis Vuitton purse.
If you're going to allow it for one person, you've got to allow it for everybody.
He says he and his husband went to Oaklawn Casino Friday night, but were told by security he had to lose the bag.
I was like, well, she's taking her purse inside. The lady behind us was like, well, what about my bag? Do I need to take it back to the car? He was like, no, purses are allowed.
Kirk says a supervisor was then called. Informing the couple it's their policy not to allow in bags of any kind.
I asked him if a woman was carrying my bag, could she take it in the door? And he told me yes, but because I wasn't, I couldn't take it inside.
What? He says finally, a manager allowed the bag in, only after searching the 9x10 purse for explosives.
Almost every woman that was behind us was like, why aren't you searching my bag? You know, the woman that was directly behind us, she was like, you know, that's discriminating.
While Oaklawn Casino didn't directly address Kirk's concern, they sent a statement to us regarding the complaint, saying in part, our personnel reserve the right to inspect incoming bags, backpacks, satchels, etc., regardless of form or size.
You can't say, like, a man can't carry a bag inside, but then a woman can carry a bag in. It's just not right.
As for Kirk, he says unlike the game of poker he played at Oaklawn, staying true to himself is something he never plans to fold on.
I just wanted to stand up for what was right for everyone.
He loves that purse.
I like the gambling references. Like, it's not something he's going to fold on.
I know, the purse.
Fold on it.
Purse kind of a wiener.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
So what did the 1 and 3-year-old lady get tattooed?
A frog.
What?
Aww.
She said it's her favorite thing in the world.
Okay. Why'd she wait so long? Is that audio?
That's the frog, yeah.
That's a good question. The article doesn't say why she waited so long.
Yeah, it seems kind of weird.
They act like coronavirus kept her locked away for so long.
I like turtles.
So she couldn't get her frog tattoo. But she's 103. What'd she do the other 102 and a half years?
Okay.
The nurse in the home said she was horribly depressed and we needed to get her out. We couldn't see her, so we had no idea how bad she was. She's extremely hard of hearing, so phone calls were not helpful. This is from her granddaughter. Weeks after she was discharged from the nursing home, out of nowhere, she decided she wanted a tattoo. It was pretty exciting because years ago my grandson wanted me to get one and I wouldn't do it, she told CNN. She said she wanted a frog. I like frogs. It's like a child.
I like turtles.
The other thing she did to get off her bucket list, because the tattoo was on her bucket list, was riding on this hog. Look at her on the bike, on the motorcycle there.
And she's in the back.
Mm-hmm.
So? Why is she driving?
Well, you want to kill her?
Well, you said she's going
to
ride a hog.
She would collapse when she had to stop and put her foot down.
I just don't think riding on a hog is a big deal. But anyway.
We can try the parlor.
Yeah, isn't that the number we have? Is the parlor?
Yep.
Okay. Why is it called a parlor, too? Doesn't it sound really soft for a tattoo place?
You tell them that.
Why come you don't have a tattoo?
Exactly. I like this song.
Tattooing.
Hi, this is the Drew and Mike Show calling in Detroit. We were calling about the 103-year-old woman that got a tattoo there.
Uh-huh.
Did you do the tattoo?
No, but I'll go get the guy that did. Hold on, okay?
Thank you. Okay, great.
She didn't like it, needed it to be removed right away.
Hello?
What did he use to put that tattoo on your butt? A needle or a paintbrush?
Is this the last thing you, Van Halen, did?
Oh, I love it when Dave talks. Best to see these true
colors. Hello?
Hey, who's this?
Ray.
Ray, how you doing? It's the Drew and Mike Show.
Hey, there he is.
We got what happened? Oh,
nothing happened.
Okay, cool. Trudy's here. Brandon is on the phone also, and Mark, and we were just calling about to see what brought this 103-year-old lady in to get a tattoo.
She'd always wanted one.
Really?
Yeah.
And where did you put it?
On her forearm.
Oh, okay.
Now, the first, somebody was wondering, you know, because older people have looser skin, is it harder to do a tattoo on looser skin like that?
Yeah, well, it's thinner and looser, so, I mean, you got to be real careful and take your time.
She's got to be the oldest person done a tat for, right?
Uh-huh.
Wow, I mean, that would just be really, who's the next oldest?
Oh, I tattooed a 76-year-old guy years ago.
What did he want?
Oh, I don't even recall, man. It was years ago. I'm pretty sure it was a military tattoo, if I remember right. But
are you the go-to artist for seniors?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like it, right?
I got my AARP card.
Now, when she came in, I mean, you didn't know. Did you know ahead of time? Did they call and say, hey, we're going to bring our 103-year-old grandma in to get a tattoo? Or
Yeah, they actually did good old man in advance. So.
Okay.
Yeah, had a little bit of an idea.
Did you have to make any special preparations?
No, she's really healthy for as old as she is. It's kind of crazy.
Was she geeked about the tattoo?
Oh, she was very excited. Yeah.
Now, what if she had wanted it on her boob or somewhere else or something like that? That would have been pretty wild, wouldn't it?
I mean
kind of scary.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't judge. You don't discriminate where the tattoo goes.
Exactly.
Does that happen very often where women want it down there?
There. Could you be more specific?
Okay, right above the labia.
No, it's not that common.
What do they usually put down there when they do?
I don't know, flowers, roses.
Okay.
You know,
cliche.
Slut!
An arrow.
Stars.
You.
Yeah.
Stars. What's the weirdest place you've tattooed a person, male or female?
I don't really consider much weird. I mean, everybody's got their own gig.
Okay. No, like, I don't know. I mean, you've seen guys have gotten their shaft tattooed. I don't know why. But.
Nobody wants to pay the handling fee for me to do that one.
So what did you charge this old bag? Did she? I mean, it seems like she'd be appalled if it was more than $2.
I didn't charge her anything for it. I mean, she's 103 years old. So.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Is she coming back for another one?
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, if you're handing them out for free.
She's been talking about it.
She knows you're giving away free tattoos. She's gonna have sleeves by the time she's 104.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question about tattoos? So we all know, like, in the 90s, everybody talked about maybe, like, the armbands, like the barbed wire being the really popular trend at that time. What would you say is, like, the really big popular trend now, maybe of Gen Z?
I don't know. Pull up Pinterest. You'll see it all there.
Oh, yeah, of course, because they have to show everybody. Are names on the between the shoulder blades, is that really common?
Yeah, like an athlete on their jersey.
Like a nameplate of a jersey, yeah.
Not so much.
Would you discourage someone from getting that done?
Everybody's got their own gig, man.
Yeah, your answer said it all.
Yeah.
You don't discourage anybody from any tattoo, but
I do. I've got my rules and my limitations, but.
Well, our friend Brandon got his name on his shoulder between his shoulder blades, and Brandon, you were copying someone though, weren't you? Didn't somebody else have it done?
No, I wasn't copying anybody, but maybe at the time I was watching a lot of dirt bike videos and seeing a lot of cool tattoos on the back. And yes, I was maybe a big fan of Sublime's album, you know, with Brad Noel.
Oh, did Brad Noel have it?
Yeah.
He had Noel between his shoulders. I didn't know that.
He had his band name. It wasn't his band.
Oh, Sublime.
Why didn't you get Sublime put between your shoulder blades instead of your name?
My last name's not Sublime.
Well, neither is his.
All right. If I had a band, I'd put my band name on there. Sorry.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, sounds like it all went very well and pretty inconsequential, but just wanted to call and check up. I mean, it sounds like, is it a record? Do we know? Has anyone older than that ever had one?
I have no idea. I haven't looked into it.
Okay. Well, we'll look into it for you.
But, all right. You do that.
Ray, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Well. You guys have a good night.
Okay. So done with this call.
Bye, Ray.
But she's an old lady. I mean, look at her. She's old.
Wouldn't it be better if he charged her way too much?
Old bag with old bag.
Well, any amount was going to be too much for her.
What if he charged
her? She thinks everything is overpriced
and ready to pound.
Well, hey, if it's her bucket list, she had to get it done. Charge her $5,000.
I got actual audio of when he started giving that tattoo.
Don't you go dying on me.
Hey, this is the last new Van Halen music, isn't it? This song, this album, this little record?
Probably.
I think it is.
Yeah. It's a good song, right?
Yeah, I kind of like it. Surprisingly.
The lyrics are a little...
It's not... Well, it's rough, you know.
I know.
Anyway,
Welcome, you don't have a tattoo.
I was talking to someone about Van Halen, and it was one of those, Roth or Sammy, and I kind of like, I just like them both. I don't really like one more than the other. I think I like the Sammy period better in general. I know it better. But anyway, this person said that she preferred Sammy 100% because I think she thought all the Roth music was so, all his solo music just completely obliterated his contributions to Van Halen.
He's got some good solo stuff.
The tequila made me do
Actually,
it!
Actually, I think I like his solo stuff better than the stuff Sammy did.
But Sammy rocks.
Halen.
Sammy isn't doing any just gigolos.
Here's my favorite bands. AC/DC, Van Halen, not Van Hagar, Skinner, Def Lepp.
What's your favorite Van Halen song? Let's see. No, your favorite David Lee Roth song on his own.
Just Like Paradise. It's not a bad song.
Okay. Name one more song.
Just a Gigolo is fucking phenomenal, especially the video. Yankee Rose.
Oh, yeah.
Those aren't bad. Those are good songs, man.
Hey, I heard you missed us. We're back.
I think Sammy plays guitar. Isn't Sammy really more formidable as an artist?
Don't let your opinion of David Lee Roth's personality sully the music choice.
Well, I wasn't the person who said this. This was just someone was saying.
But you're saying you like...
they were embarrassed by the whole Dave TV Just a Gigolo thing.
I brought my pencil!
What? How can you be embarrassed by that? It was great.
I don't know.
I love this song.
It's just a little weird coming out of Van Halen.
You know what it is to me? It's kind of like a... What are those songs called where they don't mean anything?
Novelty song?
Novelty song. Thank you, yeah.
Yeah. No, I like I said, I like them both. This is just someone who said this. By the way, Bob Rivers had a great parody of this. Just a Big Ego.
About who? Is it about anybody in particular?
Yeah, David Lee Roth. All right. Well, we got a call coming in.
Hey, man, that suit is you.
About 10 minutes, we'll find out about the purse that was denied from the casino. But yesterday, or actually last night, they had another crazy night in Chicago. We were just talking about Michigan Avenue and how all these people on Michigan Avenue are saying, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. And stores are either closing or planning to close. And, you know, this is the Miracle Mile in Chicago. When I heard about Manhattan and Times Square and places like that, you know, it was a big deal. But New York really was hit hard, and it was a little different. And it seems like New York always bounces back. But when you hear New York and then Chicago, and then I had a weird experience with my home in Phoenix, which is rented. I just never sold it after I left. Mm. And it was doing really well, and then 2009 hit, and its value, I've never seen anything disintegrate in value. I mean, Trudy, you think your house turned against you. This is amazing. I mean, literally, the value was less than half.
Oh, geez.
And so, over the years since 2009, it's bumped up a little bit, you know, a few thousand here, a few thousand there. It's still nowhere near what its value was in, like, 2005. And so, I don't know why I did this. Oh, actually, I know why I went to this, because I used to have a tree in front of the house that I used to trim to look like a baseball. And it really was shaped like a baseball, and people were, it looked like they were not doing a good job of keeping the baseball going. And now it's a total disaster. But anyway, I was looking at that, and then I looked at the Zillow price, and I was like, wait, what happened? It was up, let's see, what would that be as a percentage? It was up about 25%.
Whoa.
And I probably looked a year ago, and I was like, what the fuck? So I talked to my property manager, and she said that so many people are leaving places like Los Angeles and San Francisco and large cities and moving to Phoenix, because Phoenix has very, it's very sprawling. It's got lots of suburbs. It's not nearly as expensive. And she said that prices were just really going up pretty dramatically. And Phoenix is, it used to be that Phoenix was building, 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 and so nothing seemed like it could ever appreciate. But then the building has gone so far out now that, you know, people want to buy the places closer in. But anyway, the story was that essentially cities are just losing. People don't want to be in cities anymore.
Well, there's no reason to be in them right now.
Well, I understand right now, but.
And you can find, a lot of people can do their job anywhere they want.
I know, it's quite a switch. But after all that conversation yesterday and then finding that out, and then today, seeing what happened on Michigan Avenue last night. And I got to tell you, did you guys see video of the people looting and busting up? And I mean, they were literally filling vehicles and vans and SUVs with crap from really nice stores on Michigan Avenue. It was absolute madness. And the police seemed to be pretty outnumbered. I mean, it was just absolute madness. Did you guys see it, Brandon or Trudy? Did you see any of the video?
No, yeah, I didn't, but that's a fantasy of mine. I would love to loot Michigan Avenue.
I also saw the
now's your time. Go over there.
The aftermath of the Best Buy. It just looks like it just the parking lot was just all garbage from people just destroying that place.
Wow.
No, it was completely insane. And I mean, and I should have, you know, obviously we talked about New York, but Chicago, because it's home and I've been on the Michigan Avenue so many times, and I'm not a person who likes to shop, but I actually love walking on Michigan Avenue. I pop in the ESPN store or whatever it is, or the
Nike store.
The Nike store, yeah, with the Jordans. I did buy Jordans once. They don't fit very well, but I did buy a pair.
Or Espen, as it's known in the biz.
So I'm watching this video, and they're explaining it, and they said that at midnight, suddenly, it's like this large group of people just descended on Michigan Avenue, and it's like the looting was on. It was like it was all planned and organized. It was just completely insane. And it took Chicago police 3 hours to, I guess, either slow it down or put an end to it or whatever, but it sounded like they were terribly overmatched, and it was just, generally speaking, a total disaster. So at the end of the story I was watching, let's see, what was the quote? I know I wrote it down. Oh, they shut off. They had to shut off 94. They shut off, you know, Lakeshore Drive. They shut off public transportation. They literally could not get this thing under control. So they had to literally stop vehicles from entering that area in order to at least, you know, at least arrest enough people, or enough people got all the stuff they wanted moved on to put this thing to an end. So anyway, at the end of the story, and I think it's on Good Morning America, the reporter says, they're still trying to figure out what exactly triggered all the looting. It's like, what do you mean? What trigger? Why does there have to be a trigger? I mean, implying that, because I was like, well, I'll tell you what happened. A bunch of criminals decided they want to steal some shit. I mean, it seemed very obvious to me. But so then I was sitting there thinking, okay, well, what was he getting at there? Was he suggesting that the police are so bad that they have to steal a lot of stuff to make a point? Or I really didn't know what he meant.
Well, there was a story I heard today that a cop shot somebody, didn't kill him. But I think that's
what story?
I think they're connecting two things. I guarantee you the people looting didn't know about that.
What was the story about the shooting, by the way?
Just that a cop had shot somebody on the south side.
Did they say that the cop shot him unnecessarily?
No.
Yeah, so what I read, I saw something similar to that. I saw something where the police were engaged in something with an individual. From what I had read, that individual had a gun or something, and they had shot him. But then the word got out that the police had shot a child or something, and then people immediately kind of
It reminded me, what I did read of it reminded me, not because now I'm reminded, it sounded like the story in Detroit where they said, yeah, this guy just executed this guy, and it turned out the guy had actually shot the cop at the cop three or four times, and it was shooting as he's falling to the ground, and I mean, it was brutal. But yeah, immediately it's the police's fault, and I don't think the reporter was even connecting those things. But he's really implying that, hey, if people stole a bunch of shit, they had to have a good reason. I mean, maybe I'm taking this too far, but I just thought it was odd to say they're still trying to figure out exactly what triggered all this looting. It's like people ripping shit off. I mean, what is there? Is there always? Are we always looking for a good reason for the criminal to do what they did? And again, police are having problems because, first of all, a lot of people with COVID are getting out of jail, prison, or what have you. And then on top of that, this bail program, which people have literally thrown millions of dollars into this bail program, people are not spending any time in jail. They're getting out quickly. And then as I started diving into the story, there was a companion piece about Kim Fox, the one that dropped the Smollett charges.
Yeah.
That she has dismissed 35% more felonies than the previous prosecutor.
Wow.
And
it's quite the agenda.
It sounded like a nice combination for a lot more crime in a city that has way too much crime already. And again, this is the city that, you know, when the offer was made to send feds in, it was like, get the fuck out of here. We got this. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of politics involved there, but clearly Chicago does not have this. And Lori Lightfoot's quote was, we're coming for you. And it's like, well, what are you waiting for? Yeah. I mean, it seems to me you're not coming for anyone. And it leaves me every time I see a story like this, which is pretty damn often now. I mean, crime is fucking insane. Whether it's Portland, Seattle, or Chicago, or New York, it leaves me wondering, are voters not okay with this? Or is this just sort of the price of doing business now? Or is this blamed on COVID? Or what? I mean, I would think this would be becoming a large problem. But everything you hear from Portland and Seattle is, it's okay. It's no big deal. Chicago's pretty used to this. Chicago's had, I mean, every weekend there's a lot, you know, 30, 40, 50 shootings. Mm-hmm. And, I, you know, maybe as long as it's like a NIMBY, not in my backyard, it's okay. Now, somebody was murdered on Oak Street. Trudy, have you been to Oak Street Beach in Chicago? You went over there.
Yeah, no.
You know where Oak Street is? Again? Oak Street is like prime. You know, that's a beautiful shopping area. And Oak Street Beach is probably the busiest beach in Chicago. Anybody go to Oak Street Beach?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
so right. It was like, what the fuck is going on? And what is anybody going to do anything about it? But we'll have to pause that thought because is that our man?
Yeah, Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Jordan!
Let's see. There he is.
Jordan, Jordan, Jordan.
Oh, we got a song for Jordan?
Always. Can you hear us, Jordan?
I can.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
How do you like your song so far?
I mean, it's pretty good.
Not bad.
Jordan, Jordan, Jordan.
A little repetitive.
Jordan, 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 Jordan.
Well, if we knew a little more about Jordan. Anyway, Jordan, we heard about what happened at the casino and wondered, you know, we know pretty much know the story up to this point that they rejected you and your bag and they were letting other people with bags go in. And do we have has anything come of it yet? Has the casino apologized?
The only apology that they sent was yesterday. About like mid-afternoon, I got a Facebook message from the vice president of marketing. And it just said, like, on behalf of Oaklawn, I'd like to apologize for the incident and the inconvenience last night. The situation has been addressed with our team members. Thank you. And I guess that was on Saturday.
That's it?
And that's the only way they've reached out at all.
No free play or anything?
Yeah, why wouldn't they comp
you? No free play, no nothing.
I mean, you got a lot of leverage here, Jordan. You should hit them up for some free
play. Yeah, there should be like a few hundred dollars and $500 in chips or something.
Thing.
Right?
I mean, today I turned off all the reviews, like the ability to leave a review on Facebook or even for someone to send them a Facebook message.
Oh.
And they went as far as to take their emails down in any way for people to contact them if you don't know how to like find them on Yellow Pages, I guess.
Now,
they've taken off their website and everything.
I will say this, Jordan, because I was looking at your Facebook page and I was trying to find your phone number, and someone posted on there about having some kind of rally there, and you actually said you don't want that. You don't condone a protest or anything about that. Is that true?
Definitely not. I definitely don't want to protest. Like it was like a glitter rally. They wanted people to fill their pockets with glitter and go in and throw glitter all over the.
Well, what does that accomplish in the long run?
Something.
It's kind of fun.
And that doesn't accomplish anything in the long run except a huge mess. And it's not going to do anything for them to change their policy except, you know, maybe they're not going to allow any bags after that and they have to clean up a ton of glitter. And they'll, you know, everyone that does it's probably going to have some charges filed on them or something. That's just a terrible idea.
Well, this is probably a dumb question. I think I know the answer. Why, in your opinion, did they make such a big deal about your bag?
I still have no idea why they made such a big deal about it. We questioned them about it a few times, and you know, we asked them, like, you know, if I was a woman, could I carry this bag inside? And they told us absolutely. You know, women need their purses, and I was like, that. You know, that makes no sense. And we asked if we gave my bag to a woman that was standing in line behind us that didn't already have a purse, could she carry it in and then I take it off of her when she gets to the casino floor? And they had no problem with that. So I was like, what's the problem with me walking past it? And they just said, well, men can't carry purses, and so it's considered a bag.
Well, Jordan, did you think about trying the famous line from the 2009 comedy The Hangover?
It's not a man purse. It's called a satchel.
I didn't Nana even think. I've only seen that movie like once or twice, and I didn't even think. And I was like in the heat of the moment, just trying not to like lose my cool.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't even know what to do here. Like, this is just ludicrous.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you didn't have the response I was expecting from you was, well, I was with my partner, so maybe they have a problem with gay guys or something to that effect. But is it that so few, is it possibly because so few guys carry purses that they just thought that it's suspicious that you must be up to something? I mean, did you think that?
I mean, they could have. And people have asked if they thought possibly like it could have been something that we were gay. And I mean, they definitely could have told, like, seen that I was gay, you know, walking up. If you see my picture going across the nation right now on all of this stuff, you can definitely tell, like, I'm gay from it. Like,
what?
I went and hide.
There's not a penis in your mouth or anything. Why would I think you were gay from it?
But
can we see Jordan's picture, please?
My husband is, you know, a big, muscular man. Like, he's a sheriff's officer. You know, if you look at him, you're not going to be like, oh, he's gay, like when you look at him. And we were standing in line like 6 feet apart, you know, like they asked us to do. Like, you know, we had to go through the first security guard and get our temperature taken, and then the second security guard and show them our IDs. So we weren't like all up on each other. No one really, you know, until they got our IDs, they didn't even know we had the same last names. So I don't think being gay was like, they was there with my partner, had anything to do with it. You know, I think once he told me I had to return my bag to the car, you know, there was a lady in line behind us that was like kind of joined in with us. Like, no, like that's discriminating, like that I can't carry my bag, but you're going to allow the women. And so then they were like, well, now we're not going to let you bring it.
Oh, God.
Some people were saying that maybe it was because it was a Louis Vuitton bag. So there may have been some jealousy, or they just thought you were showing off.
Yes, they may have been jealous about my Louis Vuitton, but I don't even. You know, we're in the middle of Arkansas. I mean,
they don't know what Louis Vuitton is, do they?
Is it a real Louis Vuitton?
They don't even know what Louis Vuitton is. I mean, I can't disclose if it was real Louis Vuitton or not. I mean, I'm afraid people might break into the house.
Jordan, how many bags do you have? Do you have a whole collection of satchels?
I probably have like two or three satchels, but that's probably the main one that I carry everywhere.
Yeah, 'cause it's a Louis Vuitton
one. What's in it, by the way? What do you carry in your purse?
I always carry my son has a food allergy. I always have his EpiPens with me.
Okay.
And then I carry my wallet, and I had extra mask with me, and then I had the car keys, and I had my phone and had my work phone in there. And I think I had some like spare change in it. That was all I had.
Condoms?
In
that day.
None of your husband's stuff is in your bag?
He had his wallet with him that day in his pocket.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, every now and then I'll put his wallet in there, but I don't think I had anything extra that day. Sometimes his keys, but we were riding together that day.
Does he ever say, you know, do you really have to have this damn bag? I mean, I'm carrying my wallet. What the hell do you need a bag for?
He usually makes fun of my like Louis Vuitton that I'm just trying to show out to everybody.
And you are, and that's fine.
Yeah, I would.
Now, do you ever get mad at him because he maybe rags you for having this satchel, but at the same time wants you to carry, like, put this chapstick in there and put my wallet and carry all his stuff?
No, he's usually like, I always lose it everywhere. I'm like, does anyone, I just walk in the house and just like throw it down the first place that it lands. And so we're like leaving to go somewhere, and I'm like, where's my bag? Where's my bag? And he always will, you know, he goes through the house and he'll pick it up and put it up. And he's like, well, if you put it up, you would know where it is. And so then it's like, I have to go play hide and go seek to find my Louis Vuitton.
Now, I saw on your Facebook too, you had a bunch of pictures of other people at the casino once you didn't get in, that women that had purses on them. Was it one of those things where you're walking around going, she has a purse, she has a purse, she has a purse?
Yeah, once we got in, you know, they were like, you know, I was like, well, it's not a size thing, you know, my bag's only like 9 by 10 inches. It's not like it was a huge bag, like I could stick a whole bunch of stuff in. And when they searched me, they said, you know, we need to make sure you don't have explosives in your bag. Like,
oh, please.
Okay, like, that's whatever. But, you know, we go inside, and some of the bags these women are carrying are, like, huge. And they had told us, like, there are no backpacks allowed and no bags over, like, a certain size. And so, like, I was walking through just, like, taking pictures of, like, different bags that we saw, which was totally not against policy because you're not allowed to take pictures on the casino floor, but you know, multiple employees watched me take pictures and no one said anything. I think the only policy that I did break at the casino.
Did you say that your husband was a police officer?
Yeah, he is a sheriff's deputy.
Oh, he's currently a sheriff's deputy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know much about cops and sexuality. Is that becoming more commonplace now?
He works with quite a few that are, like, of the LGBT community. I don't think it's, like, abnormal.
No, has he been out for a long time as a police officer?
Not terribly long, maybe, like, 2 years.
Was that was that always a fantasy for you, Jordan, a cop?
I mean, it's kind of hot.
That's what I was going
to
say.
I mean, it makes people jealous.
That's it, all of it. He's jealous of
you. He didn't pull you over in some kind of breathalyzer's demand or anything like that, was there?
Absolutely not.
Has he ever used his government-issued handcuffs on you?
We have not done that.
Okay.
I mean, we have some other handcuffs that might have been used.
Now, I would think, honestly, when this whole thing's going down with the casino, he might, you know, say, hey, I'm an officer. What you're doing is illegal or whatever. But he didn't do that?
No, he stayed really quiet, you know, trying to, like, keep me cool so that, I didn't stress it in the casino.
What's your game? How'd you do in the casino?
I definitely lost everything I took in there. Luckily,
except for the bag. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't lose the bag.
Well, yeah, that's why I can't believe they would ever stop anyone from going to a casino, because it's just money in their pocket.
Especially with a Louis Vuitton bag, you know he's got money to spend. Right. Yeah, it's just a dumb. Yeah. Do you think it's just the one security guard was maybe freaked out a little bit that this guy was carrying a Louis Vuitton bag?
Yeah, thank you. And with the COVID, and I don't know if y'all know much about this, because, you know, they're building a huge resort with it. So I think they're kind of tied on their money right now, so no one wins anything when you go there. turned down. But no one wants to go to the casino because you can't win anything.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, we go to spend our $20 just to, like, push a button.
Well, I got to tell you, I was going to this casino in Michigan, and I found that, why is it every time I double down on blackjack, I can never get a face card? And then I see, like, 3 years later, there was an investigation, and they were shorting the decks of tens and aces, I believe it was. So, I've felt that way many times. Boy, there's some places you just can't win.
Is it a tribal casino, or is this a state-run? I mean, I don't know what kind of casinos are down in Arkansas.
It started as a racetrack, but it's privately owned.
Okay.
Huh. Were people social distancing properly?
They were.
They were?
For the most part. I think there were some families that were sitting, like, next to each other at the slot machines and things. But for the most part, they have, like, one slot machine between everything, and they have a lot of the tables like closed down and only allowing a certain amount of people at each one.
Now, when this whole situation was going on with the security guard, did you ever think about just like making out with your husband in front of him to freak him out even more?
I think I was too mad to like even think about that. You know, if I was thinking like logically, I would have just started videoing. So like all of the things that they're like saying online, I could have just been like, well, here's the video of what happened, you know, because they won't release theirs.
Yeah, I'm surprised that
they won't let it out. Yeah.
Wouldn't you think someone in the line, I mean, everything's filmed now. You think someone in the line would have filmed it?
I think everyone was just trying to get in to spend their money before they were like, oh, sorry, we're at capacity.
How silly.
Huh. Well, it's a weird story. Yeah, I would think that video would be easy to get, that somebody would, even if it wasn't you, somebody would say, this is appalling, and let's see what happened. But, maybe it just takes a little time.
A lot of people were on your side.
Yeah, who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did we get the picture of Jordan, Mark?
Yeah, I showed you. Do you want me to show you?
Oh, again? No, I missed it.
Yeah. I got a new Jordan song for you, too, Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
You are my best friend, dude. My best friend, you are my best friend in the world. You're my best friend in the world.
Oh, Jordan, you're such a great person. I really like spending time with you.
Is this one better than the first song, Jordan?
That one's a little better than the first one.
Oh, really? Okay.
In the world. You know, that purse does look big on you, Jordan.
I mean, I'm pretty small.
Yeah.
I mean, I've weigh like 125 soaking wet.
What?
When you're holding the purse in front of you, and it just, I don't know, for some reason it looks really big. I guess just because you're not that gigantic yourself. But anyway, yeah. Just want to find out what happened. That's terrible injustice, and I hope it doesn't happen again, and want to wish you the best of luck, and thanks for your time.
Well, thank you, and thank you for giving time on the radio. Well,
absolutely.
Thank you, Jordan.
We'll see you, Jordan. Enjoy your song on the way out.
It's another one, Jordan.
Backup singers. Back me up, backup singers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's really awesome, yeah.
Uh-huh, my name is Jordan.
Is this better than the second one, Jordan?
Sounds pretty good.
All right, thanks, bud.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's really awesome, yeah.
I'm going to take you and go get you a Louis Vuitton purse.
Looked the, what did he say, 9x5?
9x10, I think.
9x10.
That looks bigger than that to me, but
looks
I
like
don't know.
$1,200, $1,500 maybe?
Wow. Yeah, those are expensive, man.
Okay, I got to mention downtown Royal Oak because people are still spending those Royal Oak bucks. Man, over the weekend I saw it was like 250 people on one day, and it was more than that the next day, and the days before it was 150. So everybody is spending their money, which is your job. You got the Royal Oak bucks, now go and spend them. And there's so many places to spend them, like Atomic Coffee and Mesa Tacos and Tequilas and Royal Oak Tap House and City Tavern and...
I'm a Luigi.
The Trico Salon and Blaze Pizza and on and on and on. And, of course, Thursday is your chance to lift in there. If you don't want to drive, parking is free through August in all the downtown Royal Oak structures, and they've got a bunch of them. Or you can take Lyft, get $10 off, use the code GO2RO. Go to Royal Oak. Get $10 off on your way in. Get $10 off on your way home, too. And that's Thursday and Friday, 5 p.m. to 2 a.m., and then Saturday, Sunday, 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. And we have not heard any problems as far as getting a lift, which, you know, can be problematic in certain parts of town or wherever or what time, but no, yeah, not so. So enjoy Royal Oak, and we're hearing that more Royal Oak bucks are coming soon. So if you missed out on the first 400,000, there's more on the way from the Royal Oak Downtown Development Authority and those big Royal Oak bucks and all your favorite businesses. And boy, they're all busy, busy, busy. Trudy, you got the latest from Dr. Roche?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I was in there the other day, and they got the Evolve laser out. Tracy did.
Oh,
and
that's for melting fat, isn't it?
It's for tightening, trimming, and toning. There's three different heads, and they do each a different thing. And so I've got the tightening laser.
Yeah, I'm a guinea pig for that.
And Zerona Verju for the cellulite-y legs, and Skin Tight for your face and neck. And I get to try them all out, see how they are. I was really, really, really quite pleased with the outcome.
Nice.
And they've also got their August specials for Diva 3 treatments, regular $4,500, plus the G-Shots. It's going to be $3,850 in August, the most worth it procedure. Rated by women everywhere. Also, saline breast implants, $3,500 in the month of August. Be really, really hot when you get done with August. Introductory pricing, by the way, for Evolve Tight Trim and Tone, extended through August 31st, $2,500. You save $500 when you go through this body contouring, skin tightening, and cellulite reduction process. And it's absolutely non-invasive and painless. That's and doesn't take that long either. It's like a lunchtime procedure. So anyway, at Dr. Roche's office, really, really amazing stuff, 248-338-1110. Give them a call for a teleconsultation. You don't even have to leave home. And you can also look online at droche.com. And their CBD products are 50% off, too. I got some of them.
Things are also amazing and crazy at Zot Ford in Holly, because we're talking about the all-new Ford Bronco. I feel like it's already sold out for like the next 8 years. But yeah, you can reserve your new Ford Bronco right now with Zot Ford. And we know Juice is doing that. Go to ZotFord.com and follow the link. You can order your new Bronco Sport or full-size Bronco two-door or four-door. The hype is enormous. The Broncos will sell out before you even know it. Plus that, they're still offering the Ford Promise. We know what that is. You can buy or lease a new or pre-loved vehicle. And if you get canceled in your first year, you're canceled or fired, you lose your job. Your first year of ownership, they'll take
I was pissed off.
If you murder somebody, I guess maybe that would be considered canceling.
Not.
But Ford will take the vehicle back, period. Finally, the team at Zot Ford continues to have deals, because the lease trifecta is back. Right now, you can lease a new 2020 Ford EcoSport or a new 2020 Ford Escape all-wheel drive or a new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 20 4x4. Wow, that's a lot of 20s. Your choice
that's
of
what
the
I'm
three.
Talking about.
Your choice of the three. Each one is as low as $166 a month. Yes, that Force trifecta.
You've just been juiced.
Gives you a choice of three brand new Fords for just $166 a month. Surf their deals and massive inventory and a trifecta of deals at dealsinthed.com.
Like it or not, it's over.
They are our studio sponsors.
Breaking news with Mort Grimm.
Did you guys know there's actually legitimate breaking news right now?
No.
In the world. This is President Trump was doing his press conference. Uh-huh. And this is what happened as he's doing it. Hang on, let me back
hopefully
up.
Hopefully soon. Excuse me?
The Secret Service came in and interrupted it.
What?
To rush him to safety.
Shots fired somewhere?
Because they Secret Service shot somebody by the White House. You know, somebody was doing something they weren't supposed to do. I can't find out exactly what happened, but President eventually came back in. And this
took you back to the White House, where you see President Trump is resuming his briefing with reporters.
Let's listen. Law enforcement at that person, at the suspect. It was the suspect who was shot. And this just took place. A couple of people outside. I noticed a man named John Roberts, who you know very well.
Yes.
He reported that he heard shots. He was outside and he heard two shots. We don't know yet. We don't know. They're going to find out.
Do you know if the individual said anything, sir? Mentioned your name, anything like that?
We don't know that yet.
It was the Secret Service that did shoot this
suspect? Seems to be. Yeah.
It seems to be.
Where were you taken, Mr. President? Were you taken to the bunker?
No, we're taken just out over to the Oval Office.
They knew what they had responsibility with the bunker.
Just told me when he came up, you pretty much saw it like I did. He said, sir, could you please come with me? So you were surprised. I was surprised also. I think it's probably pretty unusual. But very, very professional people. They do a fantastic job, as you know. So it seems to me, it seems to be from what I was said, there was a shooting. It was law enforcement shot someone, seems to be the suspect, and the suspect is now on the way to the hospital. I can't tell you the condition of the suspect. There was nobody else injured. There was no other law enforcement injured.
He doesn't really know any more than, you know, what they tell him immediately. There's not much to know. Somebody shot, and then they shot back and hit him.
Right. Well,
who was John Roberts? You mean the Supreme Court justice saw it? Or
well, there's also John Roberts Fox. He's a I don't know if he's one of the dudes that's in the White House, but it could be John Roberts. Would he be? He wouldn't be in the White House.
Who? Which, that you talking about the Supreme Court justice?
Yeah.
Fuck no.
Hanging out.
I think just Trump came back and he's like, I'm going to explain this whole situation, even though I don't know anything about this situation.
Here's they actually have video, and this is a 3-second clip, so who knows? That was it. That little shot. That was it. So, I don't know, but it's the president, man. He gets pulled. Of course, he has to be doing a press conference right as it's happening.
Of course, he'll never say if he ever goes in the bunker again.
No, that reporter knew exactly what he was doing when he asked that question. He should have asked, when was the last time he inspected the bunker? Remember, he said he's been down there 2.5 times. So. Oh, it's crazy, man.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Hey, I know you guys were both up north, and Brandon, you were in Traverse City, right, recently?
Yeah.
Did you see? Did you see who else was up there over the weekend?
Who?
Paris Hilton.
What?
You didn't see that?
I didn't see her up there. No.
Apparently, she's dating some guy that has a place in Traverse City. Just
who, Carter Oosterhouse? He's kind of the famous person up there.
His name is Carter. Carter. It's got to be him. R-E-U-M. Ream. Room.
No, because Carter Oosterhouse is married to Amy Smart.
Oh, really? Mm. Why do you know that?
Well, I'm telling you, up in Traverse City, he was the real deal. I mean, in popularity, there's Ron Jolly, number one, because he's a bad motherfucker. Number two is probably Carter Oosterhouse. Number three, Michael Moore. Tim Allen used to be up there for a while, but I'm not sure if he still lives up there anymore. But those are kind of the celebs.
This boyfriend co-founded the vodka brand Veev, V-E-E-V. I've never even heard of that. But they have an investment firm called M13, which is, you know, the highway that runs across the state, M13? I don't know. She was up there.
Don't know.
I just would have hoped you would have seen her, Brandon.
I did not run into her. I ran into a listener who I don't think they knew who I was, but they saw my hat. And
oh,
they
really?
Said, they said, I like that show. And I said,
cool.
Thank you very much. So, and then I ran into Ron Jolly, the baddest motherfucker in Traverse City, too. So.
That's so weird that you ran into him because I knew you wanted to see him up there.
Well, we lost Norm Jones, one of my show hosts up there a while back. And I always wanted to get back up there and see everybody. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done a very good job at keeping in contact with the people from WTCM who helped shape me into the radio professional that I am today. No, anyway, what happened is I went up there, but it was only for a day. And I was like, man, I really wish I could see Ron. And we were about to leave and we stopped at this roadside beach just to eat lunch real quick. And then hit the road. And as we're walking out, there's Ron Jolly walking right past us. So it was cool to catch up. It was like fate, man.
There was other radio news locally as 97.1 has changed names of two shows. The two shows that had lineup changed, of course, with Jamie passing away. That's now The Morning Show with Stoney and Heather.
Oh.
So I guess she gets moved up to billing with Stoney.
Yeah, and then I saw that the afternoon show with Valeni, they changed their name to
97.1
in the afternoon.
In the afternoon.
Oh my God.
And it's now the Valenti show with Rico, which that's a pretty common naming device in sports radio, the blank show with blank.
Yeah, what? I heard the beginning of it today. Just it was nice to hear Rico. Again,
what were they yelling about? Were they mad about
Rico taking over?
No, because now the show is with him. It's
he's
not the
featured
Rico
performer,
show.
Though.
Well, it's still the Valenti show.
No, I'm just kidding. Say, I'm just trying to stir up shit.
Someone's going to be aggravated.
No, it sounded good. It sounded good hearing those two. It you know, reminds me a little bit of the Ryan and Rico. Just hearing him again, it was cool.
What were they talking about?
Well, the big story is college football, you know. So they started off just pretty much saying that it ain't going to happen. No way.
Are they supportive or are they angry?
No, they just I don't think that they believe that it should happen because if
Lenny's been saying that for a while, man.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You're going to have these kids play, and then if they get sick, I mean, are you going to cover them when, you know, long-term health issues? No. So it's going to turn into paying of players again. So it's just one big...
It's funny how all those issues seem so obvious, and yet they didn't even address them.
What do you mean?
Well, that there are potential for long-term medical issues, and so is it really unfair for these athletes to say, hey, you know, I want to be insured beyond this program in case, I were to get this. And you know, there are some cases where people have some longer term issues.
Well, that was part of what the players put out there, their list of demands for the COVID season.
But I mean, why? If
we're never going to do that.
If college football is going to act as if, you know, we've done such a great job. And, you know, Harbaugh insists they've got the secret sauce. I mean, it sounds like... everybody should either be in the Alabama football program if they're compromised, or the Michigan football program if they want to know how to survive. I mean,
I understand where they're coming from because that's the only thing they know is football, and that's what they want to get done, and they're on the inside, so they don't. I think their opinions, both Saban's and Harbaugh's opinions, are a little compromised because that's what they need to happen.
Aren't they just indicative of? Everyone's a special case. Oh, my wedding deposit. We have to have my wedding with 150 people. And, we've been playing this party for so long. And, a Tyga's coming. And so we got to have the party. And
Tyga.
And, well, he's one of the people of his name.
Sounds like a Kardashian thing,
And then, this motorcycle party, it's half the revenue for the city. So we can't not have. I mean, everybody has some special reason why they have to do something that breaks the rules, that's, you know, they're somehow more important than everyone.
Did Jobby have another one?
Jobby Nooner had their raft off. Trudy, you can't cancel Jobby Nooner.
Yeah, but they had the
raft off. Yeah. No, you can't cancel that. They were setting a record.
They did Jobby Nooner. Can't they just be satisfied? Do they have to do another one?
That was my whole point earlier, is that we're just not together on anything. And, you know, I was thinking in recent days, I've had this thought that, okay, why don't we just, like, do 2 weeks? Because you know what? How long does it take to quarantine? 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
2 weeks, right? Yeah. So anybody that has it won't have it in 2 weeks. I mean, I'm just trying to do it as quickly as possible. I mean, if you really, really, really shut down for maybe 3 weeks. Just 3 weeks. Just everybody. No special shit.
Yeah, right.
No, I had to do this because I had to do this, or I got to fly here because our vacation's planned and blah, blah, blah. I mean, no special cases. If we really did that for even 2 weeks, wouldn't everything be so much easier afterwards?
Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
I know it's not going to happen. That's what I mean. We can't do anything.
We should have done it back in March.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should have done it back in March. But everybody is special. Everybody has a special reason why they can't do this or they can't do that, or they have to do this or they have to do that, whether it's 2 weeks in March or 2 weeks now. So
I understand that. That's America, though. You know, we value freedom over government.
Well, you know what's the worst is seeing that New Zealand is like completely free. They're having concerts. They're having festivals. They're able to eat out. They're able to go to bars. They have zero COVID cases. Yeah. And they're just la-da-da-da-da, having a great time.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Sweden, which took so much shit, Sweden is doing very well. Sweden doesn't have anyone dying now. They've got, I don't know, have you checked Sweden lately, Mark, on the worldometer?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, they were getting, they were being lauded, and it's like, wait, can we make up our mind about Sweden? I mean, first of all,
they can't even make up the mind, their mind about themselves.
Well, they're doing what they've been doing, and it's working. Now it's working. I mean, let me check my world out.
Yeah, they say no new deaths.
Okay, no deaths. Mm-hmm. And if you look at their, I mean, for considering the fact that it was all about the curve, flattening the curve, and well, flattening the curve is one thing, but everyone else made the curve go all the way down, or virtually all the way down. Some of them, they've had a little return, but not much. And then you look at our curve, it never went all the way down. It was down for a short time, and then whoop, there it goes up again.
Does that say something about the people of Sweden, though, too?
What, they're healthier, probably.
Well, they the government said to stay away. They right. did shut well, certain things down.
Well, they did sort of something in between, you know, the farthest restrictions and the most liberal in terms of freedom. Mm-hmm. But eventually, for some reason, and I don't know, they don't wear masks over there, do they?
No.
They don't wear masks in Holland either. In fact, in Holland, somebody was claiming that masks are bad because of I don't know what. But, I mean, this is the other part of the problem is that everyone is talking out of their ass. You know, oh, you can't take this because of that. I mean, all of a sudden, everyone's a doctor. And so nobody can follow instructions because they know better. So I don't know. I don't hold out a lot of hope at the moment. It's really disappointing. I feel like we're going to be stuck in this limbo phase for, I don't know, God knows how long. And I thought for a second, well, okay, Biden claims that, you know, Trump has bungled this completely. So when Biden's president, he'll shut down coronavirus. Well, how is he going to do that without shutting down the country? Like really, really, really shutting down the country? Well, he could start from scratch and say, hey, here we are. We're just where we were before. We're doing this. This is a national plan. We're shutting everything down. But I don't believe that'll happen either because I think people will go, well, I have to do this because I'm important. Like just like we do now, like Sturgis. I mean, 250,000 people. Come on. Really? Really?
It was a pretty unattractive group of people from the TV coverage, too. Sorry.
Well, it's actually looks like a lot of fun. It does.
Well, if they're outside,
they're having
care,
concerts indoors, which is a really bad idea.
Although I did just see footage of the Smash Mouth concert, and that was outdoors.
Oh.
And it was jam packed.
Hell yeah, it was.
Somebody once told me.
Well,
that Smash Mouth guy looks pretty a little big.
By the way, the rioters in Chicago are not exactly social distancing either. And I guess they had to riot, too. And, you know, if you watch Portland, I think
all
it was
right,
a night.
State your name
and I think the concern about Sturgis, too, is that those people aren't from there and they're going to go home.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, that's, yeah, of
I
course.
Mean, that's the cause for concern.
But any group that is too big and too close together sure. is a problem.
Sure.
And what was I saying? Oh, night before last in Portland, there was a big, you know, to do because somebody was trying to set the federal building on fire. And the only reason I know about the story, because there was a story about the old ladies in front of the building saying, hey, please don't get this. And they poured paint on this lady's head. And it was like, ooh. Really? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just bullshit. And all these people are dressed in black. And then there's these protesters behind them. And then the police come because the building's being set on fire. And I think they put it out. I don't think it was too serious. Did you guys see that? Anybody?
No.
I mean, the building didn't burn down. It's the second time it's been set
Call
on
the
fire.
The fire department. This one's out of control.
It's been set on fire twice, and I don't think there's been a great deal of damage. But anyway, there was a big dispute and a big kind of hoo-ha because the peaceful protesters said, well, we didn't do anything wrong, so we don't have to leave. And the police were saying, no, everybody get the fuck out of here. We're putting this fire out, and we're ending this event right now. And so anyway, as you watch it, there's, you know, all these people jammed up together and they're all yelling at each other and it's a big nasty deal. And it's like, well, yeah, that happens every night there almost. I mean, some are better or worse than others. And then Sturgis and then the parties in Los Angeles, which are just outside Los Angeles County. So Garcetti can't turn their power and water off. And I wish somebody else would. I don't know. I just feel like we're going to be stuck in limbo. And in the springtime, they're going, should we play football? Should we not play football? Should we play football? It's going to be the same thing all over again.
Hey, shouldn't we have our vaccine by then?
Yeah, we'll have the vaccine.
Well, a third of people said they won't take it.
Oh,
and
fuck those people.
Lowered the,
can't agree on anything.
Of it
There's nothing.
To about 40 to, I think, 60% is now what what they think it will be, where the what the seasonal flu went 70%.
So why won't the vaccine work if I take it and somebody else doesn't take it? Why won't it work? I just figured if I take a vaccine, I should be safe from it.
Right, and if half the people won't take it, but half the people will, won't there be enough immunity?
There has to be a certain percentage. It's a pretty high percentage, I think. 60%,
60 to 80.
I thought it was more than that.
Plus, it has to work, Brandon, so you could get it, and it might not work.
Well, it'll work.
It might only work on 40 to 60% of people.
Moving along.
I see what you mean.
Okay, today I'm watching this story on Kanye West's presidential campaign.
Oh, did you see the big endorsement he got over the weekend?
From who?
Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon, that's great.
Is that the kind of endorsement you want?
Probably. I mean, people seem to support Nick Cannon until he said, I shouldn't have tweeted that. He had a lot of support.
Kanye will get the anti-Semitic vote now, I guess.
I mean, we can't even agree on Hitler anymore, can we?
Oh, that's...
I mean, honestly,
that's amazing.
I thought we all agreed that Hitler was bad, but no, you've got the skinheads, and you've got Nick Cannon and all the people who said, hey, he's telling the truth. So, I mean,
Michael Jordan, who had a Hitler mustache in the Hanes commercial.
Let's see, what else can't we agree on? Oh, we can't agree on the Holocaust. All these people are posting things on Facebook saying the Holocaust never happened. So we can't even agree on history, things that we know, we thought we knew happened. But anyway, Kanye West.
Did you look at his site with his, what do they call it? His platform, I guess, for running?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
I don't really care about his platform, but he's in the birthday party, and that's cool.
That was really important. I think number one was about bringing God back, which I didn't know God left.
Yeah.
He doesn't strike me as a very godly person, but.
What do you mean?
Well, I know he did the revival.
He's always to support his kids. Well, he is. Some people are saying. And I mean this not as in the usual some people are saying. Some people are really saying that he is being helped by Republicans in terms of getting on these ballots and that he is secretly still likes Trump and wants to help Trump by running. And Giuliani was being interviewed and Giuliani was saying, oh, I think they still are friends. And he didn't really get terribly specific. But I found myself saying, OK, so if he's running to just pull some because Giuliani's point was that. Kanye wants to help African Americans who he feels have been manipulated by Democrats for 50 years and really have not served African Americans well. But if the truth of the matter is that he's really trying to help Trump by pulling some African American votes, if that is the case, then will this be called another just mental health episode where he's off his meds and he ran for president and he got 4% of the vote? And so it's okay because he didn't really know what he was doing, just like he doesn't know what he's doing when he says that. That being slave was a choice and all these other things, which are excused and people, no one seems to be too upset about him because it's not his fault. Is this also going to be not his fault if he gets Trump elected?
Nothing is ever his fault.
How does that work?
Because he makes good music. People like his music.
But they're also seem to be manipulating the mental health facts to a degree. I mean, can you really run for president and have a whole campaign because for months and months and months, you're no longer yourself? Seems a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
Didn't used to be that way.
He's also got $1 billion sponsor. Yeah, and cool, I thought, you know, when he was getting into all the stuff about Harriet Tubman and all, I thought, I don't think he can keep a sponsor. But he does still have a sponsor. And it doesn't seem to be in any danger because he was just on this crazy episode. And it's not his fault.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how nice would that be to be Kanye West, where every time you do something really, really crazy or bad that people just go, oh, but that's not his fault. So it's all good.
How do we really know clinically whether it's truly an affliction?
Because everyone's a doctor, Trudy.
Saying, what?
Everyone's a doctor who says this. I mean, everyone's a doctor now. It's not just doctors. Everyone's a doctor now. Haven't you noticed?
Nobody wants to say it might actually not be a crazy episode.
I'm kind of serious where you have people talking out of their ass about medicine or about coronavirus or, I mean, you know, everyone seems to know things that I, by rights, wouldn't think you would know unless you went to medical school. People seem to speak with authority about medical issues when I don't think they know what the fuck they're talking about. And they really have no right speaking with authority. On Kanye, on a person who's bipolar. By the way, what about HIPAA? Do they really know what he's taking and not taking every day when they make these statements?
I don't know. How do we know he's bipolar? Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I don't know. I personally don't know because I think, didn't they say that when he was in the hospital? Oh, he's bipolar and he's having an episode. And so this must be another episode.
Mm. But can't I just say anything if I want to get out of trouble? And why wouldn't it work for me?
Well, you're going to have to put out some number one hits, I guess.
Oh, boy. All right.
Hey, did you hear much on the Iggy Pop thing that came out from Goose Lake and the whole Goose Lake 50th anniversary? Pretty.
I haven't heard the song yet. Have we acquired it?
It's his whole set. It's out there. It's his.
But did we listen? I mean, I didn't hear you guys listen to it yesterday.
No, we didn't.
I listened to some of it. The quality isn't the best. It's kind of interesting. Yeah. It's not something
absorbing too many drugs at that point.
Just like them.
I think it's one of those things maybe people won't listen to over and over again, but it is fun to listen. It's a moment in time. But I was intrigued by the lineup yesterday because I was going through it. And I was trying to go 1970. And the one that surprised me a little bit was John Sebastian headlined Saturday night, which was
the original Sabo.
Yeah. Sabs. And John Sebastian's funny. I don't really think of him as one of my favorites or somebody who was really that big at the time. But, you know, when you look down that playlist for, not just The Love and Spoonful, but John Sebastian, there's a lot of great songs. I mean, he had a number of hits. And by 1970, around that time, I guess he would have been a lot bigger than I thought.
Is this your favorite song?
This is a big hit, too.
Wait, this is him?
Yeah. Solo. Welcome back.
I'm back.
I know, it's funny that a real, like, classic rock artist would write a TV theme, or did he write the song and then they just grabbed it for the show? I'm not sure what the story
is. That's a good question. I just assumed he probably wrote this song for real.
Hey, I heard you missed us. We're back.
Hey. It was a great show.
How many real songs are TV theme songs? I mean, I know that 70s show, that was a big star song.
Well, if Gilligan's Island was not written for the show, they got really lucky. That's all I can say.
No, but you know what I mean? Like a real song that was used as a theme song.
I think that happens, doesn't it?
Well, Friends, the Rembrandts.
That's a real song, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You love that song, Brandon. Hey.
What's the name of George Lopez? Didn't he have Steve Miller Band?
Oh, really?
Veronica Mars was the Dandy Warhols.
Or did he have Lowrider?
Wait, which song is Dandy Warhols, Trudy?
The Veronica Mars theme is the Dandy Warhols.
Is that so? What's the song?
A long time ago. I don't know. I mean, I can't.
I was singing about the Dandy Warhols for Drewfest, Stock, Palooza, whatever.
Whoa.
Really?
I mean, it's a little ambitious. We're in talks right now. We're not getting too far.
I think they do it though. They haven't been out to do anything recently.
I know the lead singer is in Portland, and he has a winery or something, or maybe it's a. Yeah, he's Courtney Taylor Taylor. He actually added a Taylor to his last name, which I thought was kind of cool.
We forgot an obvious one though for a theme song that was a real song, and that was Sinatra's "Love and Marriage."
Oh yeah, Married with Children. Yeah. Absolutely. But the Spoonful had Do You Believe in Magic? You Didn't Have to Be So Nice. What a Day for a Daydream.
I like that song.
Yeah, it's a great song. I like that song, too.
A ton of stuff.
Did You Ever Have to Make Up Your Mind? And then Hot Time, Summer in the City.
That's them, too?
Yeah, that's them.
Oh.
And then Darling Be Home Soon, which is my favorite Love and Spoonful song. It's not their biggest hit. It was number 15 hit. They had like 7 top 10 hits in a very short period, like 4 years.
Still like the band name, man.
It's the 1960s, when you say.
Kind of silly.
What a day for a daydream.
I was accused of daydreaming on many, many school reports. So that might be why I like it so much.
I've been dreaming all day about having you all to myself.
I thank God the dream came true.
I'm blowing the day to take a walk in the sun and follow my face
It was always my dream to work in a porn store.
A very poppy sound, but very 60s. Pretty cool.
It's my dream, trust me. It's just, that's why I like.
And then, you remember the song Nashville Cats?
Could happen.
Yeah, I remember Nashville that song.
That's a great song. I love that song. Really? And I didn't realize.
That's them too?
What's that? Yeah, that's Love and Spoonful.
Oh, and my God.
I had no idea so many people had covered that song, too. Of course, every country guy loves it.
No thanks.
It's a picking song. It's a little different. I don't know. Love and Spoonful seem like they're somewhere between Donovan and... I don't know why I always want to do this, but I can't think of... what the other band is that they're that the hybrid would make them Love and Spoonful.
Donovan's way cooler though.
But Donovan's very cool. I love Donovan. I don't understand why did Donovan's career just end so quickly. It was like he wrote all these great songs.
Wow.
Season of the Witch and Jennifer Juniper and Sunshine Superman and Mellow Yellow and
Hurdy Gurdy
Man. Yeah,
Atlantis.
Probably my favorite. Atlantis is awesome. It's Goodfellas great. Scene, huge Goodfellas scene.
Just mad about saffron.
And then
yeah,
it's
like Daydream.
It's saffron over. Mad about me.
I'm just mad about saffron. She's just mad about me.
This is summer of 67, I believe. Where You Love Like Heaven. Jennifer Juniper, which is about...
Yellow, quite rightly. This fellow never bellows, quite rightly.
Jennifer Juniper is about Patty Boyd's sister Jennifer, who is hot.
Great song, yeah.
Clapped and nailed them both. he can actually say that Phil Hartman drop, and it's true.
That's where it came from.
Possibly. But then all of a sudden around 1970, it's just over for Donovan. And I don't think he toured that
much.
He
has the longest Wikipedia page ever.
Yeah, he was mixed up in a lot of stuff.
So you never figured out the answer, why he disappeared?
No.
I think he stopped touring, for one.
2007 and 2010, he was still issuing music.
Yeah, I think he kept making music. I just don't think he kept making hit music.
Right.
But that's how it goes. It seems like, don't most bands get 5 years?
Yeah.
And then it's sort of over, and maybe they make the comeback, and they have a hit or two, or there's those very rare cases where people just keep making hits, but they're so rare.
What? Oh, my God. Did you know his daughter is Ione Skye?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I had no idea. Mind blown.
You know, I knew that, but I think I didn't want to know that because she is in Say Anything, right?
Yes. She's
I didn't
terrible.
Think she was cool enough to be his daughter. So I just eliminated her as his daughter from my personal Donovan bio.
Yeah, but that means at some point Ad Rock was his son-in-law from the Beastie Boys.
Oh, wow. That's weird. Who else was she married to? Was she married to someone else?
Let me look up. Somebody named Ben Lee.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him either. Some actor, musician.
Ben! Yesterday, Mark sent me something about Red Dog on Hulu,
yeah.
Which is about the Red Dog Strip Club. And, you know, I'm sure people are still looking for stuff. Oh, my God, what can I watch? Running out of stuff. And live sports seem to be doing it for some people, but maybe not for as many as we thought. But this is a fun little documentary. It's about an hour and 40 minutes. And what is Luke Dick's main thing? Writing songs?
I think he's a music writer and producer. Because it looks like he in the documentary, you mentioned some hit song. I think he wrote for Dierks Bentley. And,
oh, that's right.
And there was a clip of him. I believe he's working with the Black Keys. Or at least it looked like he was working with them.
Could he be related to Andy Dick? Is it possible at all?
It's
or Tim Dick? Is he related to Tim Allen?
It could be a far relationship.
Anyway.
Because knowing where his last name came from, it's a really wild life that his mom led. And the story, the documentary sucked me in before, you know, the title screen came because he does the documentary and he's talking about how his mom would take him to the bar she worked at, and he always thought she was a bartender until one day his buddy's like, no, man, our moms are strippers. And holy crap, some of the stuff they went through. There were some hard drug and hard drinking strippers.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's a very. Really good. I want to find that one clip. I was talking
so
about.
He sort of grew up, at least the first seven, eight years of his life, and he would hang out at the strip club and play video or play pinball games and the early video games.
Oh,
and
my God.
Mom would be getting ready to work or whatever, and or she'd just be hanging out there with her girlfriends who were strippers. And she went through quite a few husbands, too. Was it the fifth guy she was with at the end of the fifth marriage?
She's been with him 20 years.
Yeah, and...
Yeah.
Who doesn't like to watch a naked woman swing around on a pole?
So upon finding this out, he decided that he wanted to know what happened to all these people from the Red Dog Strip Club, which is a famous strip club, it turns out, in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Because Oklahoma City, if you think back to 1970 or 75 or 80... You know, there's that big expanse of the Southwest where there's just nothing, and Oklahoma City's really a big city for, you know, until you get to Dallas or Houston or
yeah, they alluded to it having
Austin
a huge oil boom too, right before the Red Dog Strip Club took off.
So there were there was a lot of money from the oil workers for these titty bars,
mm-hmm.
and the Red Dog was famous. And it was also like 10,000 square feet. It was one of the first really big strip clubs, two stages. And lots, and they had bands, too. So it was like, you know, a gigantic place. And a lot of people know it. And it became pretty famous. So he knew so many of the characters from that time through his mother and being a little kid. He decided he wanted to do a documentary and find out what happened to all these people. Like the guy that was the doorman for 15 years. Oh, my God. I don't know if I was buying everything he was laying down. But
The bouncer?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You mean this guy? Let's see.
The guy who said he killed. I don't even know how many people I killed in NUMB.
Yeah.
He got every job he claimed by punching out the previous bouncer.
He's got great hair, too.
No, what was up? Is that a perm?
It's totally.
Is that his real hair?
It's totally a perm.
Looks ridiculous. Well, anyway, so Luke, you know, at a relatively late age, finds this out and goes back and digs into all these people, including all the strippers, and what happened to them. And, my God, those girls went through hell. I mean, they were all drug addicts. And they all kind of cleaned up for the most part.
It's amazing how many of them cleaned up.
Yeah, they
just
they,
Nasty Kathy seems like she was the only one who didn't get cleaned up.
Nasty Kathy.
And that was, I think, my biggest disappointment with the documentary is that his mother would not explain why she was called Nasty Kathy. So I just assumed she was taking double penetration or, you know, I don't know.
Well, when you hear all the other, stories,
yeah.
she has no problem.
Nasty.
No, I think it would have been better to tell us, and that way I wouldn't be, my imagination would be running wild with all these horrible things.
I know, and then they interview her son.
Oh, and what a zero that guy was. Oh, my God. Anyway, I thought it was pretty good doc.
I can't find this one part.
If you got Hulu, and I usually when I go to Hulu, it's like, there's nothing on Hulu, but
Hulu,
every now and then.
Hulu changed like their interface, and it's a lot easier to find stuff.
What else are you watching on Hulu these days?
I'd have to close this to see everything I've watched. But I've been spending a lot more time on Hulu than I ever thought I would.
Anybody watching anything on Netflix these days?
I'm going to be jumping to the second season of Umbrella Academy. I think that one's out.
I watched it.
The second season?
What's it about, Trudy?
It's kind of a different twist.
Superhero.
Yeah, superhero kids. Almost like X-Men in a way, but...
But
they have
kids?
The most amazing soundtrack for that series.
Really?
Yeah, they do.
What's in it?
It's got all type of psychedelic stuff, and they got a ton of different big hits.
I got to look
and
that up.
And it's kind of like in a wise guy way, synced up with the action too, like Backstreet Boys. They, you know, Backstreet's back.
My
cool
favorite song.
To watch it because it's really artsy.
Isn't season two of The Boys coming out soon too?
Yeah, The Boys is coming out soon. I did wrap up Perry Mason, which was pretty good. I enjoyed that 8-episode series on HBO.
What about World's Most Wanted?
Yeah, God, yeah.
I watched
three episodes.
Isn't
it great?
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
I think the one about the females is the best one though.
It was really freaking me out.
Yeah. And to know all these people are still out there. Although I wonder how many have died just naturally. We don't know. I mean, she could be dead somewhere. We would never know.
How old is she? She's not that old, is she?
No.
She's this...
She's hanging around a lot of killers.
She's this Islamic blue-eyed yeah. Islamic chick who marries terrorists. And, of course, the terrorists then go martyr themselves and blow something up, and then she marries another terrorist. Mm. Huh. And she's
sweet.
She's really, I honestly, she freaked me out. Looking at her face, it's like, ah!
Well, you know what she's done.
But she looks scary in that weird way, because all you can see with her hijab is her eyes.
Yeah. Well, they had other pictures of her, but yeah.
That reminds me, on 90 Day Fiancé, which I don't suppose anyone's watching, are they? There's this girl who fell in love with this guy in, where is he? It's a black chick from Florida, and she fell for this guy in, is it Saudi Arabia? It's in the Middle East. Anyway, she goes there, and she's still married to someone, which he doesn't know. He thinks she's divorced, and they're trying to decide if she should go there for the 90 days visa, and then she has 90 days to either get married to him and stay there and live there, or just say, nah, it ain't going to work, I'm going home. So she's just going there to visit, and this guy, he's kind of putting a little pressure on her, like, you know, hey, we got to get married. And he doesn't really get too specific until they meet with his parents that she needs to become Islamic, like, in 3 days.
Oh, boy. You can become Islamic that fast?
Well, he thinks that she loves him that much, and she says, I can't get married that fast because, first of all, I want my father to come. Actually, she's still married to the previous guy, so it's pretty complicated, but she says, I want my father to come to the wedding, and, you know, and they're like, his mother starts screaming at her that she's embarrassing her son.
Oh, shut up.
I swear to God. And then at one point, they're sort of having an argument because he's telling his parents that, oh, yeah, she's going to be Islamic. Don't worry about it. And she's sort of like, hey, wait a second. He goes, hey, come on, baby. Calm down. And he's like, don't call me baby when we're talking about this. And his mother just goes ape shit, like runs her out of the place, like, don't you talk to my kid that way. Because surprisingly, it's a very sexist environment.
Oh,
and the man seems to run the show. And she had showed up with a bottle of liquor at the airport, which was a real problem for him. And so, anyway, watching this thing go on is like...
Well, in that case...
I guess mom do knows best.
Yeah, but she's got a few days to become Islamic. And
well, how do you get on the fast track to Islam? Like, what do you have to do?
You got to start really dressing the part and...
That's all it took?
Acting the part, not drinking, and being... I think the biggest problem for her is the part where she is submissive to him. Because she's... American women are just, you know, and that's one of my truly intriguing parts of watching 90 Day Fiancé is when, you know, you live in America and you just hear about America within America, you think that American men are the most horrible, sexist people in the world. But then when you see some of these other places, you go, hey, we're not that bad. Jeez. You guys need to go live over there for a while. I'm not trying to belittle it or say it doesn't exist, but I'm just saying it could be a lot worse. Especially
you're trying to teach us all a lesson is what it is.
Yeah, I want you in jail for 60 days, and then I want you to go live with this guy and become Islamic in 3 days and meet his family.
Don't you have to read the Quran or something?
Well, it seemed a little easier than I thought it would be, but I think
maybe
it's probably as long as
divorce is really easy though.
That's right. You're divorced, you're divorced, you're divorced. Mm-hmm. The biggest problem is, I think, her sort of being submissive to him. That's the real tricky part. If she just would do what he says, it'll all work out, I think. But that's the part that I don't think is going to work. And you guys know Luke, right? Or not, wait, what's his name? The guy with Larissa, who lives with mommy. What's his name? Colt. Colty. Yeah. Colty married that Brazilian bitch, Larissa, who assaulted him 3 times. She was in court 3 times for domestic violence. And I was like, no more America for you. And somehow she gets the charges dismissed. And then the third one is plead down. So she's still here. Hmm. And now she's a Colty meets the redhead with the big green blobs on her legs.
Yeah. Gross.
Lovely green blobs. But yeah. Anyway, she's pretty. She's got a great rack. She's a little heavy, and she's got the green blob issue. For some people, I'm sure they would love them, but they're really gigantic, and they're on her thighs. Have you seen them?
Yeah, I've seen them.
Yeah, they're really big, and I don't even know what they are. They're just green blobs to me. Anyway, it turns out that she is every bit as nuts as Larissa. She finds out that he's talking to this girl on the phone who's a friend of his, yeah. And she's like, you said you weren't talking to her, and she's firing her shoes at him, and then she says, I'm going to go fuck my ex, and she takes off in a cab, and looks, and Colty's like, how am I going to get her back?
Oh, God, do you want her back at that point,
that's
Colty?
That's what I said.
Jesus, send her back home.
She came back at 2 in the morning, like, banging on the door and screaming at him, and so he got another room for himself, and then he's like, I'm going to straighten all this out.
Oh, God, what a zero. I found the clip from Red Dog. Can I play it? My favorite clip from the movie?
A lot of great clips. There's no clip that isn't good from Red Dog.
This is a guy interviewing his mom about her stripper career, and she tells this story. Her grand idea. Remember her grand idea?
I was free.
It'd be great to be interviewing your mom, and she tells you this story.
But I move into this two-bedroom garage apartment with three guys living there. They just thought that was the best fucking thing ever, is living with some girl that works at the fucking Red Dog, and they were all college students. And I could run shit off of them. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? What do you think about if a dancer does this? What do you think about a dancer does that? One of them told me one time, I saw a girl that shaved. And I'm thinking, don't they all shave? You know, and he goes, no, she shaved her pussy, Kim. And I went, really? And he said, yeah. He goes, God, it looked great. You know, and I got to thinking about it, and I thought, oh, God, I just got hair, you know? At 17, I thought, I finally got...
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing we forgot to mention. They start stripping at, like, 14 and 15.
Oh, leave it a little bit loose down there in Oklahoma City.
Oh, hair. So I got to thinking about it, and I thought, I bet that could be a money catcher, because bottoms had just come off. And I thought, what a money-making machine.
What do you mean the bottoms came off?
1976 to 1986, when total nudity was legal.
Pasties and bottoms came off at the same time. How ridiculous is that?
Okay.
A lot of the girls just could not hardly do it. I'm like, fucking, I'm into all this. And the guys would call booger. They called it booger.
Gross.
What a terrible thing to say, but that's what it was.
That's the terrible thing to say?
And I thought, quit laughing. I know you're laughing back there, fucking jackass.
Your son's
so
laughing
I go
at her
to the bathroom
vagina
the next
story.
Morning, and I'm shaving my legs, getting ready for work, and I decide, okay,
stop
I'm
laughing.
Going for
not
it.
Fun.
And I shave it. And then I look at myself in the mirror, and I realize, my God, what the fuck have I just done? Because then I looked like a 12-year-old. That's all I could just look. I looked at my twat, and I thought, it looks like I'm 12 years old.
Love when your mom talks like this.
Wow.
That's what I couldn't believe. This is mom. That's my mom.
I did read their reviews, by the way.
Yeah, do people like it?
Yeah, it's a legendary strip club. I mean, if you ever know
what I'm saying. Truck driver.
But,
I thought you meant the reviews for the documentary.
The reviews of the documentary are good, but the reviews for the actual strip club, the Red Dog, are really good, except in the last year... he can't hire enough staff because people just won't come to work for COVID because they're getting their $600 a week. And so
all
he's
comes back to COVID, man.
Struggling to hire good wait staff. And there's a lot of complaints about the wait staff and being slow and, you know, not responsive. And he said, oh, we're training them. And so until
he has,
COVID.
But he has no trouble with the strippers staff?
No, the strippers, I guess, are still pretty good. They probably make a lot more than that. So they probably still want to work. But we should get out of here. It's Trudy's first day back. She should only have a half day, technically. How's Wheels today, by the way, first day back?
Great.
Is Wheels humping along? I saw they had another good month. I checked it out.
Yeah, excellent.
Which
yeah.
is the month?
It's fun.
They're usually online pretty quick. Yeah. But, Trump did one of the smartest things he's done in a long time, if you ask me. With this executive, four executive orders, $400 a week, and the Republicans and Democrats have been arguing over $600, $200, $400, whatever, and people have been without their checks for over 2 weeks now. So Trump just says, fuck you, $400 a week, we're going to take interest off of college loans, we're going to keep people from being evicted, and there was one other thing.
Payroll tax.
Payroll tax.
Oh, payroll tax, yeah, maybe the biggest one. And the states will pay $100 out of the $400, so of course... The Democrats are all saying that this falls short, it's illegal, and Republicans are commenting to it. I'm like, look, it's better than the nothing that these two people, and if you block him from doing it, then you're stopping people who aren't getting any money from getting money.
That's
so
right.
Why don't they fucking agree on something so they have, everybody has something instead of just saying it sucks?
Yeah.
I mean, he's put them in a pretty tough spot.
That's a brilliant political move.
It was a great move. And maybe it will force them to do something. And God damn it, do something. Shut the fuck up and do something.
Why no stimulus check, though? Where's our money?
I don't know. Maybe there's another executive order coming. But just get something done. God, I mean, we have to spend 3 days talking about what a shitty illegal order this is and then do something?
They'll probably end up cutting a deal.
I think they will.
But it just gave them all the leverage.
All right, everybody, we'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, boy.